Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here. We're live tonight. Welcome to the place. We're here to minister to you personally. I had a little trouble getting on. So we are here and glad to be here with you tonight. Hello, everybody. All right, so this is Tuesday night. I couldn't get on. It was crazy. Some of you who've done shows, you understand what I'm talking about. Wow, that was amazing. All right, we are already like a line 11 p.m. Amazing. So I'm going to send out text to everybody, let them know that I'm on. Y'all hang on just a second here, all right? Okay. All right, good to be with you tonight. And we're here to pray for you as always, so we will do that here in just a little bit. Let me send out messages to everyone, so give me just a moment here. We'll take a minute. All right, everybody. All right, we have been teaching on some really cool things, and as I get along here and get this going on, we will do a little sharing with you tonight. Some teaching from the Bible, from the Word of God. I've kind of been interested in some very cool things. It's one of the things I believe that is an end-time work of God. I think it's an end-time move of God. I think it's what one of God's words that is coming out of his mouth to us. As a prophet, that's part of my job. I don't just teach. I revelate or prophetically revelate. Prophecy is the spirit of the testimony of Jesus, right? So that's really cool. It's the testimony of Jesus. And I don't know, a lot of people interpret that a lot of different ways, but, you know, I'm just going to take it from my perspective on that one. Prophecy is really all about Jesus. It's you know, when you look at the book of Revelation, you see where Jesus, it's a testimony of Jesus, that the whole book of Revelation is about, you know, a testimony about Jesus. And so when you realize that it's about him, and then you see him talking about the Antichrist and, you know, the final battles and everything in between, from the churches that some are doing good, some are not doing so good, talks about all of them. He talks about everything. So Jesus talks about everything. And he doesn't, you know, because he created all things. He wants us to know that he knows all things. He wants us to know that, you know, especially the book of Revelation. We have Nicole teaching the book of Revelation very specifically on Sundays and Tuesdays, Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, which I forgot to send out text on that today, y'all. All right. And so when you realize the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and you see all the different things that are in the book of Revelation, I mean, it's mind-boggling. I mean, to this day, people are trying to figure out what it means, right? People are trying to figure out what does that mean. And so everybody thinks, oh, the Word of God, it's just so simple to understand. It's so easy to get, and yet, we have how many different churches, and all, even the same churches, even all the, you know, the Baptist churches that the number one Baptist church and the number two Baptist church, they all believe different things about different things. They have the foundation the same. Christ is, you know, our Savior and Lord, born of the Virgin Mary and soon coming King. But when it comes to, you know, all the different things that the Bible means, I mean, How many people actually know what it means? I mean, some of us think we do, and some of us might, you know. But one of the things we're going to find out is that I believe that the end times, that the season that we're in, is going to be a season where we're going to be able to discern and know the difference between the voice of God about the Word of God than just somebody quoting Scripture and saying things. We have, I don't know how many different interpretations to the Bible, right? And well-meaning good people, they're all good people, they're saved. Just because they don't believe like I believe, that means they're not saved, right? y'all understand that one. Just because somebody doesn't believe in pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, rapture, or whatever, differently than somebody else does, doesn't mean they're not saved. Doesn't mean they don't love Jesus. But when we're so wrapped up in our belief system, sometimes we think, you know, are they really hearing from God? Are they really messed up because they don't believe like me? I mean, I go through that. I really do. I go through that. And I think, man, those people are really messed up. Are they even saved, you know? And I don't really mean that, but, you know, but you wonder, you know, how saved are they if they believe that? So it's just something that we go through, you know, and I believe that everybody needs to know what the Lord is saying to them. All right, so that's the reason that we're kind of into this teaching. Because there's so much said about God. And what you do believe, not necessarily just your doctrine, although that's very important, your foundational doctrine is extremely important, but also how you build. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone builds upon this foundation, would hay stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone, you know, I mean, you know, what are they building with? What are you being built with? You may have a good foundation. You may have a great foundation, because Paul talks about that that when the foundation is built right, then he talks about the next process, which is building the house. Building the house means building you, building me, building congregations, building nations under the Lamb of God. So when it comes to building, that you can have a good foundation. In other words, are these people saved that believe this stuff about, you know, whatever thing that you don't believe, it's maybe be something really off from what you believe is, but their foundation can be right, right? Let's look at that scripture just a minute. This is spontaneous here, this part of it, so I'll give me a second here to go over here and get this going on. All right, let's go here for a minute. Any build on any foundation? I had this already, so I didn't know what I was going there. Okay, let's go for a second. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Okay, interesting. Oh, this is 3:2. Ooh, that's close to where I'm at. All right. He said, no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, his workmanship will be evident, because the day we don't want to start talking about this. This is going to be scary. Not really, but the day will bring it to light. You know, the day, SD is in big D if you're not reading it, bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will prove the quality of each man's work. So yeah, I know that I don't have it all together, and I don't know anybody who has it all together. So we're not really claiming that we have it all together and nobody else does, right? You understand where I'm going with this. I'm not going there with it at all, not even close. You know, I do revelate, and I do hear from God about things, and God's changing a lot of things about me. But, you know, do I have it all together? Absolutely not. But my foundation is good. You know, I'm born again. Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. I believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, you know, glorified the Father on the earth, died for our sins on the cross, and was in the grave 3 days, and rose again from the dead 3 days later, you know, and ascended to the Father after he went down to the middle of the earth and preached. You know, he's a soon-coming king. You know, he's coming back to Jerusalem to rule and reign. I believe that that's the good foundational doctrines, and I have those, and there's more, but that's just the kind of a general overall. And so if you can have a good foundation, friend, now, I want you to watch. This is really cool. No one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's talking about to the brothers. If anyone builds on this foundation, in other words, you have a good foundation, Jesus Christ. Good foundation, all right? But when you build on that foundation, in other words, what do you believe? Not just what you believe doctrinally, and how do you add to, you know, your pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever you are on that, whatever you are on first, once saved, always saved, you know, and all tithing and giving and all the different things, you know, there's a lot of different things. So what's going to show that we're hearing from God about stuff and that we're getting things that God is building for us personally? Because right now I'm talking about your personal life. We're not talking about building the church up in per se, but of course you are the church, we are the church, the stones that build the building of the church. You know, you and I are that. And so you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. And when you build, when you start building on top of that foundation, if you use gold, silver, and precious stone, you know, precious truths, gold and silver, which is, you know, speaks of, you know, the nature of God, the redemptive power of God, silver, precious stone, you know, the revelation of Christ, or wood, hay, and straw. Well, you know, the three little pigs, you know, and the wolf came along and, you know, blew their house down because it was made out of, you know, wood, hay, and straw. You know, I think, you know, building houses out of wood is pretty cool, but it says right there, wood, hay, and straw. So his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. Now, wood really represents the nature of man, the things of man. Wood in the Bible, when you study out the, when you look at through the you know, the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was wood covered with gold, which represented Christ. It speaks of Christ, a man. He was a man, and but yet he was all God. God on the inside, God on the outside, right? So that kind of shows you. So he was a man. So wood represents man. So nothing wrong with being man, but what are you covered with? All right. Nothing wrong with being wood, but if all you are is wood, wood representing the teachings of men, the building blocks that men, the understanding that men give us, and hay and straw. Of course, you know, hay and straw is, you know, that's not good building, material. So there you go. So his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, right? And fire burns those things. It burns up wood. If you ever put a log on fire, you know, hay and straw, all those things burn up fast. Hay and straw just goes up quick. Some things go up quick. Wood does not go up quite as quick. You can build a good fire and keep it overnight with wood, but fire, because it's talking about fire here. So fire is the true testing of what you're made of, what you're hearing from God. You may have all the correct information, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your building is being built correctly. Being built correctly means my sheep know my voice, or the words that come out of the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The mouth of God, the voice of God. Know my voice. The words that come out of my mouth, the words that my voice speaks, voice, mouth, words. So the words that speak, so that's speaking of what he is revealing to you personally, right? Are you just getting your Bible learning? Is it just something that you're putting together and that, you know, you're going to Bible school maybe, or you're taking, you know, courses and you're reading, you're learning things, and you may learn all the right information. But just because you learn all the information, that doesn't make it a precious building blocks or building stones or building, you know, you're not necessarily, it's not gold and silver and precious stones yet, because what makes it precious stones, using gold and silver and precious stones, means that you're getting it from God personally. When Peter heard the Lord say that, you know, my Father hath revealed that to you. And last night we showed in John 17 where Jesus said, my Father, I have given you, my Father, speaking to the Father, he said, Father, I have given them the words that you have spoken to me, that you have given to me. I've given them those words. It wasn't just anything. He spoke to them, you know, words that came from the Father. He wasn't just preaching something or teaching something or having to memorize scripture, though all that stuff is good, but it's what the Father quickens for Peter. Peter needed to know that Jesus was the Christ for him to be able to stand in the long haul. And so the Father revealed that to him, which we know that Peter was the one who preached the first message on the day of Pentecost, right? That revelation opened him up and set him up for being, you know, preaching the first words, the words that came from God, right? And people got saved. Why? Because he was preaching from, not from wood, hay, and stone, not just from his own revelation, because his own revelation, before he got baptized in the Spirit. And before the Spirit of God came, they had, when they were still walking with Jesus, they couldn't even cast out devils. But they had no inward revelation of Christ, or very little of it, if any. When the Holy Spirit comes, he says, that's why I tell people, the Bible doesn't lead you and guide you. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you from the Bible. Jesus said when the Spirit of God comes, he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you. The Word of God doesn't lead you and guide you. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, and he leads you and guides you with Christ, who is the Word, right? The written Word, he takes out of that. That's why you need to know the Word, so that he can begin to take your wood, hay, and stubble, your wood, hay, and straw, and make it into precious stones and, you know, building blocks that are of the nature of God. And that is that it's like being born again. Being born again is a revelation from heaven. Some people hear a message of getting saved and they say the confession of prayer of getting saved, but they don't get saved because the Father doesn't come inside them. The Father doesn't quicken to them, because it says, if my Father doesn't draw you, you're not being drawn. And if you're not drawn, you're not going to know. Right? He says, my Father will draw you. Whom the Father draws, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they work together. So when the Father draws you, then your confession of Jesus saved my soul, it creates gold, silver, and precious stones inside of you. In other words, you have a fellowship with Jesus and the Father on the inside. And now you can walk with God, not from what a man tells you, but what from, like Jesus said to Peter, what the Father shows you. And this is for every person. That's why Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, or every word that proceeds out of the mouth of my Father. Because it's not just information from the Bible. It's not just scripture. It is revealed scripture that makes it precious, makes it gold, the nature of Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the silver, the redemptive power of Christ. And when you build your life, you must build it with not just information from a good teacher. Listen to good teachers, especially if they're revelating by the Holy Spirit. If you don't, you can have all the right information, friend, and still not have one thing built inside your heart. Your information may be correct, but until you go to God with it and say, God, show me personally what that means for me, because I can't go asking my pastor in the middle of the night, what does by his stripes you're healed mean at 3 a.m. in the morning when he's asleep and I can't seem to wake him up? Who am I going to ask, a man or God? Are you going to show me who you are when it comes to healing, when it comes to deliverance, when it comes to financial prosperity, when it comes to getting things from the Word, when it comes to am I being led astray or am I being led to God? Is this prophecy of God or is this prophecy of man? Is this scripture here that somebody gave me, is this a word from you or is it a word from man? You need to know that stuff, friend. You can have a good foundation. You can be saved, be born again. The foundation can be laid correctly. But when it comes to building, and when the words that you hear are extremely important. I want to read to you something here that's really, really cool. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. I want to go there just for a minute. I want to share some things with you that are really cool that I just got today. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You want to follow along with me on Bible Hub or wherever you're at, on your computer, your phone, or you get the Bible there, whatever you got. I want you to see this. I want you to watch what Paul is saying here. I didn't even realize. I was going to 1 Corinthians 2 tonight, and I did not realize that the scripture I started getting into there was in 1 Corinthians 3, which is right after chapter 2, which I'm getting into right now with you, which I planned on getting into. I've been looking at this today. And then the other scripture that I got in Revelation as I came on the show was chapter 3. That was cool to me. Anyway, just for my benefit, I guess. I said, okay, here's Paul the Apostle talking about the things that I'm trying to, God is trying to show you and I through what is being said right now. This is prophetic revelation. I'm not just talking to you. This is from the mouth of God. This is from the mouth, the word of the Lord. I'm prophesying. Prophesying isn't always saying, thus saith the Lord to you, you're going to be a doctor or lawyer, you know, or mommy and a daddy and whatever you're going to be. But prophecy is also, prophecy is speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, not even, not just only spontaneously, but quickened by the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm not just reading something I memorized, which has its value, but the greatest value is the greatest, the silver, the gold, and the stone, the revealing of Christ. And here's what, this is what Paul's saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech and of the wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, he's saying, I'm not coming to you with scripture, wheeling and dealing and quoting scriptures and trying to, you know, impress you with my with the wisdom of man, but wood, hay, and stubble. But I'm coming to you with what he goes on to say here, but I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In other words, I don't come to you in my own throwing a bunch of scriptures together and putting some stuff together. I'm coming to you because God is quickening me. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith, now watch this, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the wisdom of men is men taking scripture, and I'm going to show it to you in just a little bit, men taking scripture and putting together a lot of maybe true information, somewhat, maybe some of it not be like, you know, we talked about Isaiah 9, meaning that Christ is going to rule the throne of David forever, which the Jews believed that was when the Messiah came. He would, when he came to earth, he would, first time he would rule and reign like that, but it was speaking about, you know, a future time. And not when the Messiah first came, when the Messiah first comes, he's going to die on the cross. And they taught that. So that was man's wisdom. That's an example of man's wisdom. But the Christ wisdom was, I'm going to die on the cross, y'all, and I'm going to resurrect, but I am going to die. And they, and none of the Jewish believers believed him because of what they had been taught for many years. So that was the wisdom of man teaching them that. So Paul the Apostle says, I'm not coming to you like that. I'm coming to you telling you what God is saying, the timing, not taking things out of context. Paul says, verse 6, he says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now watch this. We speak, you think Paul's about to make it complicated here. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers, now watch this, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who crucified the Lord? The Jews did. The religious leaders who had scripture saying, the Messiah is going to come from, you know, Bethlehem, which he did, but they didn't know it. The Messiah is not going to die on the cross. The Messiah is not going to talk like that. The Messiah is not going to call himself God. They had all these scriptures. It says if they would have known, they wouldn't have crucified him. Who crucified him? It wasn't Rome that crucified him. Rome just enacted what the Jewish leaders asked him to do. It was the Jewish people. It was the Jewish leaders who were crucifying this blasphemer. Right? They were blinded. God didn't want their eyes open. There was a reason for that. We don't blame anybody. But that's what they did. That was their job. They were flowing right in with the Holy Ghost. The devil was using them, but they were listening to the conventional wisdom of man, not the mysteries, not the hidden mysteries of God, which has to be real. Hidden mysteries mean that you can't get it by just putting stuff together. God has to unlock it for you. He has to show you. He's not talking about Isaiah 9:7, Peter, which is Christ is going to come in the second coming. He's going to rule on the throne forever and ever. He's talking, you know, so what's happening? What is God saying now? That's what's important, friend. They wouldn't have crucified him had they have known, but they didn't know. You know why? They were blinded. Yet they used scripture to crucify him. The Bible says they will kill you. In the last days, they're going to kill you, thinking they're doing God a favor. Thinking they're doing God a favor. What does that mean? They're going to answer scripture with it. You see what I'm saying? So human beings who are walking in the wisdom of man and aren't really getting what the word is saying, but they're just saying what men say, it says. That's why Paul says, but I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In other words, it's hidden from man. Man cannot get it on his own. He cannot put it together and say, okay, the Messiah is going to rule and reign on the throne forever, and they locked that. That was lock, stock, and barrel, a belief system that they believed. If you didn't line up with that, you weren't a good Jew. You didn't really believe in the Messiah. And Peter was one of those who rebuked the Lord, took him aside and started rebuking him. I still laugh about that. I'd love to have seen that. I can't wait to see the video of that one. Come here, Lord, I got a minute. Let me take a minute. Let's tell you some things here. You know, I know you're kind of new to this stuff, and, you know, I don't know where you get your information from, but you are not going to die. You are the Messiah. Isaiah 9, you know. Jesus goes, yeah. But that's the things that men say about me, Peter. That's what he told when Jesus came back at him. He said, you don't savor the things. You don't look at the things that God's saying. You look at the things that men saying about me. And they were using scripture. But as it is written, he says, verse 9, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. But God hath revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to quicken that word, man. He has to say it. Isaiah 9 says, that's for the future. It's what's going on now. What is God saying is going to happen in the next 5 years? In the next year, in the next month, in the next week, what's he saying to you? What's he speaking to you? Prayer for those living. But God has revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, now watch this. This is really cool. But the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit does. Man can't do it. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, his thoughts are higher than ours. You know, yes, we can, when he shows us his thoughts, we know them. But his thoughts, I mean, God is so vast in his wisdom and in revelation. I mean, we can't even begin to conceive it all. It's just too much. It's too high. What God does show us things, and the Spirit does reveal things to us. But don't start thinking you get two or three or things going on, or 50 or 500 things going on. You think you got, and you know it all now. God has shown me 500 things. Well, he's only shown you three. I got 500 things he's shown me personally that I can testify to. You've only got 300, so you know I pretty well know it, and you don't. Well, Lynn, let me tell you something. There's more than 500. There's like 5 billion quadrillions things about God that God wants to show us about himself. We can't take it all in. So when we try to say God is a good God and he would never do this and never do that, we're making God into a good man. What we think a good man would never go around killing his own people. So that scripture that says God killed his own people, it's not really God. It was the devil doing that. But when God opened up the earth in the days of Moses and swallowed up his own people, that's exactly what God was doing, friend. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about things that are hard to grasp, hard to understand. We can't comprehend why God's doing it. So we've got to quit trying to think that we're going to put God in a box and start making God into a man. The only man that's ever been in the image of God, and he said he didn't know everything, and that's Christ Jesus. He didn't know when he's coming back. Only the Father knew that. A couple of things, other things he said he did not remember exactly what they are. But you know, he said he didn't know all things as far as his second coming. Right. So there's some things even Jesus didn't know, and Jesus knew most everything. Yeah. Okay. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, God wants to show them to us, but when we start trying to figure out that God's a good God, and we start seeing some things in the Bible that don't make him look good in our eyes, that make him look bad in our eyes, then we're calling God bad when we don't really understand the depth of his wisdom. We don't understand the deep things of God unless he shows us. So we can't put God, like I say, Kenneth Copeland has done this for years in that one teaching that I know of for sure. Oh, God's a good God. He would never do that. But he did it. I'm sorry, I kept reading scripture going, you know, it contradicts so many scriptures. Kenneth Copeland, I love you, but oh my God. You know, and then I started questioning stuff and looking at the Bible and said, God, show me. See, I went from a man showing me to, I said, God, why don't you start showing me? Because what he's saying is just not lining up with the word of God in that particular teaching. And I can't seem to, you know, I can't go along with that. That's not right. That's not in the Bible. That's not the word of God. And God says, you know, I will start showing you. I will reveal it because you have the Holy Spirit inside you. And I'm going to start giving you an understanding, give you the spirit of revelation, and I'm going to start teaching you myself. Since I requested God, right? Since I'm saying, God, I can't listen to what people say when I've seen so many people, well-meaning, God-loving people with the good foundations who love Jesus as their Savior, but they erred on certain things I knew were not right. And they'd swear up and down God's name, but they just got it from man. They got it from people. They didn't get it from God. You know, some things I know I got from God. Some things I learned from people. I have. And I'm asking God to show me. What do you say about that? We're just taking people, you know, fear-mongering theories, that's what I call it, and putting you in a box, putting God in the box. Put God in the box of what they've learned. And then they put you in that same box, and you get in that box, and they don't let you out of it. If you try to get out of it, they call you, you know, crazy or something. What they did to me. All right. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Now, listen to this. He's talking about teaching. Paul understood that these super apostles that he talks about in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the super apostles, these people used scripture when they came in and took over churches and led them astray with their own, you know, wisdom and their own spirit. That's kind of what he's talking about here. These things, verse 13, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. When you start hearing people say, you know, God doesn't kill people, God doesn't, I mean, you know, I don't want to say that God kills people, but sometimes he does. But he knows, he's God, he's a just God, he's not an unjust God. So there's some reason, there's something going on that's deeper than what you and I can see. His wisdom is much higher than ours. We've got to be careful that we're not judging God. And then we start believing stuff that we don't get faith from, because faith only comes from the quickened word of God, not from some man-made thing. And that's what Paul's talking about here. These things we also speak not in words of the man's wisdom, which man teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So he's talking about teachings of the Bible, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Your intellectual mind, which a lot of people, you know, get in, they have a good foundation, but they've built a lot of things on there that are wood, hay, and stubble, and, you know, they didn't spiritually discern those things. They got it from human intellect. People that were teaching things that somebody, you know, got an idea, and they went with it, and they taught it, and they were very articulate, very smart, very good at speaking, and they convinced them that this doctrine that I'm talking about is right. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? All right, so pretty bold statements here by Paul, but you can kind of see what he's saying. And I'm just planting this. I'm planting it and watering it. But God's got to give the increase. I can't give you the increase. I can't give you the gold and the silver and the stone. I can't give that to you. You know, you can't give it to me. You can plant with me and water with me, but only God can give me the understanding. So that's what I'm believing God for, is for God to give us, you and me, the understanding, awakening us so that when we hear something, whether it's a prophetic word, a teaching, a new information somebody has gotten, that they come out with some really cool, interesting things they got from some angels. You know, Paul says, I don't care if it's an angel or not. If it's not from my gospel, it's not God. He was very bold. He says, it's not my gospel. If it doesn't line up with my gospel, it's not God. You know why he could say that? Because he knew what he got came from the Father. He knew what he got came from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take communion, he says, what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed him a lot of things, friend. And I want him to show me a lot of things, don't y'all? Yeah, of course we do. We want our building not just have a good foundation, but to be built with, you know, gold, silver, and the stones, you know, that are of God, not out of wood. Wood maybe make a nice house, but wood burns pretty fast. You know, you ever seen I used to be a firefighter. Man, you get a wood house going on, once the flames start going, that flames love wood. And they just, I mean, whoo, and it's burned up like that. But if that had been stones, and silver and gold and, you know, rock, it wouldn't have burned up. Ain't nothing to burn up. It can't burn up. The heat's not that hot. So we're talking about what's going to be revealed in the day is going to show you that, you know, you're going to start thinking, why am I falling apart? Why don't I have any faith? Because you know what, friend? You're putting your faith in what people say the Word of God means. Go ask God to show you what it means. I'm not even telling you to go with what I say. Listen to what I say, because I believe I hear from God. But go to God with everything it's said and say, God, you know, is what he's saying true? Is this right? Holy Spirit, can you? Because then he can start leading you. Then the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you into all truth. Instead of 20 different truths on one scripture, meaning 20 different things going 20 different ways. And that way God shows you what things mean. Then when you build something, the pressure and the fire and the fear-mongering and all that stuff, the flames of all that stuff are not even going to mess with you at all. They're going to go, burn all you want. You can't burn me down. I'm made out of gold, silver, and stone, rock, precious stones even. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. And we are here to minister to you personally, and we are teaching a lot right now on this particular subject. I haven't even gotten back to what Christ was at Gethsemane. Where Christ was at Gethsemane and said, let this cup pass from me, like he did with Abraham and Isaac. You know, in other words, I'm willing to do it. Three times he was willing to do it. Right? You remember that message? I still haven't elaborated on that prophetically, but this is what I'm talking to you right now is part of it, believe it or not. Yeah, it's part of it. Because Jesus was quoting the word. He wasn't quoting the word. I think he was thinking about that word that was in the Bible about Abraham and Isaac. Father, you know, you didn't make Abraham cut Isaac, and you still received it as him being killed and resurrected. That was it. I remember when you did that. Yeah, that's what Hebrews confirms that. Hebrews chapter 11. You accepted that as done. So I'm willing to do this. You know I am. But nevertheless, you know, not my will, but your will be done. Remember all that? You know, y'all get in on some of that? Man, that was hot, man. That was like, just about took me like by surprise totally. I just, wow. But he literally had to give his life. He wasn't able to do it like Isaac did. His father raised the knife and start plunging the knife in him, and the angel stopped him. And in Abraham's heart, it was done. So in God's eyes, it was done because he saw Abraham do it in his heart. Therefore, it was done. Just as if Isaac was killed and rose from the dead. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews 11. Be for yourself. It's amazing. And Jesus was thinking the same thing. Because all we're interested in, right, is getting the job done. It doesn't really matter if we could do it. See, that's one of the things, the ways of God. That's one of those highways of God that are just high, man. I mean, I never thought about that, about Jesus thinking that before until, you know, it just came to me. I never heard anybody talk about it ever. We was a revelation to me, man. Wow. Boom. It's kept compassion on me. I'm thinking of Abraham and Isaac right now. Willing to do it. You know it. Done in my mind already. But he still had to go do it literally. Same thing with you and I sometimes. Sometimes we get to do it spiritually. Sometimes we literally pay the price. All right, let's take our caller tonight. Thank you for being with us. Let's go here to 754-240. I think it's Donald and Tanya from Florida. Are y'all there? All right, 754-240, are you there? Maybe the phone hung up. Let's go check down here and see if they're down here. Nope, they're not there. All right, 754-240, are you there? Let me check here. Hello, Donald Tony, you there, 754? All right, move on here. I'm showing one time. All right, 754-240, are you there? Hello, 754. We're going to be taking care of the babies. They got a new baby, so let me give you just a minute here. All right, Donald, Tony, you there? I got hung up there. I hung myself up. All right, 754-240, are you there? All right, let's move on. Here we try. I know they got a new baby, so there's no telling what's going on. All right, 903-946, can I talk to you where you're from, please? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello. Who am I talking to? Where you're from, please?
Hi, my name is Janice, and I'm in Tulsa.
Hi, Jenna. Hi, Jenna, have we talked before?
Hi. Janice is my first name, J-N-I-S. Yes, we have. It's been a long time.
Janice. Okay, Janice, good to have you. I'm going to mute you just for a second, Janice. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit, all right? All right, Janice. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget it. Janice. All right, Janice, thank you, Lord, for Janice. Thank you, Lord, for the God giving you clues. You know, sometimes, you know, God will not come right out and tell us things because he wants us to learn how to reason out, you know, how, like, God will give us a clue. It's like going on a little, searching for treasures, you know. We get clues. We get, you know, he likes us to try to figure out things. He gives us just enough information to, you know, like he told Abraham, he said, you know, you're going to leave your father and mother and go to a place I will show you. But he didn't say where, right? So, you know, number one, he wanted Abraham to step out and give him something to work with. So once he broke loose and cut the ties with his mother and father as far as leaving them, hang on a second. Yeah, since he broke the ties with him and he takes off, breaking the ties with his father, sometimes we have to break ties with things. And not necessarily bad things, just things, you know, that God just said, I've got somewhere, it's time for you to move on. Time for you to move to a different place, go places. I want you to go some places with me. God wants to take you somewhere. So he asks you to leave a certain thing behind, you know, can be, you know, a habit or not necessarily even a bad habit, just things like eating ice cream. Ice cream is fun. He asks you to leave the ice cream and go for some, you know, something healthier. It's like he said, you know, so he gets you to break loose from something so he can begin to, you know, take your offering, take that part of you that broke loose, and then he can begin to guide you and lead you. So we told Abraham to leave mother and father. He broke loose from something and started walking. I don't even know if he knew which direction to go, but he just took off, right? And he began to, God began to guide him. And, you know, he gave him little hints. You know, like he said, you're going to leave your mother and father and go to a place I'll show you. And he said, okay, you know where yet? Is it just go. And that was the hint. That was kind of a thing. Just take off and go. And then he trusted God, you know, and he just took off and started walking, you know. And as he went, God guided him. So sometimes God needs something. He asks something of us, and then we give it to him. And then he takes the thing we give to him and starts using it to lead us and guide us into a new thing, to a new place, to some new understanding. And to a new season in our lives. Sometimes we leave an old season behind deliberately and willfully to enter into a new season. And so I see God like giving you little clues, you know, like, okay, the treasure's over in that direction, the northeast, or, you know, that those two apple trees over there. There's only two apple trees. In that general area, go that way, you know, gives you a hint, you know, gives you a clue which way to go, and you start going that way, and you just about get to those apple trees, and he says, okay, now, you know, go toward the east. The sun is rising. And you go to the east. You try to go straight toward the sun. You kind of follow the sun and where the sun comes up, and you go east, and then, you know, so he gives you clues. But he doesn't always tell us everything, because he wants us to activate his obedience to see if we'll do things with what he gives us without having all the answers, right? Yeah, because sometimes we have all the answers. We'd say, I'm not going to do that. Joseph would have known he was going to go to Egypt to rule with Pharaoh. He probably went, I don't want to be with a heathen, some heathen king. You know, I don't want to be with some heathen king. There's a bunch of idol worshipers over there. I don't want to be with my father and with my brothers. They're supposed to bow down to me. I'm supposed to be blessed here in Canaan, not in Egypt. Egypt's a heathen place, you know. I don't want to go there. So, he wasn't able to understand. So he started getting him there, and, you know, brothers got rid of him, taken to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accused him. He goes to prison. You know, I mean, those things. So anyway, that process of the way God deals with things. All right, let's go here and talk to Janice. Janice, how are you doing tonight? What's going on?
I'm doing fine. I just need prayer. I need a... wisdom. I need wisdom and understanding. I'm going through I am going through a legal process. I was hurt at work, and it is not being taken care of, and it's frustrating, and the Lord's telling me not to be frustrated. The world is telling me to be frustrated. And I
right.
just, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, I don't know what the word of the Lord has to do. Right. Yeah, gotcha. I see what you're talking about. You know, so I got a feeling that, you know, God's going to, you know, he's going to ask some things of you. You know, I don't know what that would be. It could be just simply some obedience of some kind. And as he does that, he's, you know, he's going to, because I keep seeing you, you know, moving into a new territory. In a new place, you know, and that could very much have to do with your court situation, you know, and going into a new place with it, you know, moving from not anything being done to it being done and finalized. You know what I'm saying? That's a new place.
Right.
Now, the place you're at now, they're not doing anything. A new place would be they're doing something and they're acting on it and they're working it out. You see, that's a new place. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So sometimes, just because I don't even know you really, and what you're doing, going through, and what's going on. Like you said, we haven't talked in a long time. I can't remember. I remember your voice. I remember. I don't remember anything about you, but I remember your voice. Yeah. So I don't really know what's going on. So when I get on the show with somebody and I give them a word, I don't always know what it means. You know, it's just a clue for me. Mm-hmm. I'm getting clues. It's like I told you, you know, God gives us clues, you know, go kind of toward that way, you know, and you start walking that way. And then he says, okay, now that you're almost there, go this way, you know, and he'll give you, he'll see if you're going to obey him with the information that he gives you instead of, you know, most of the time we want the whole package. We want to know exactly where we're going, what's going to happen when we get there, and how long we're going to be there, you know, instead of just going, you know, step by step. And so I have a feeling that God's going to, that he's going to take you to that new place, but he's going to ask you to, you know, step out and obey him. And I don't know what that could be. It could be anything, you know. So you might ask him to tell you, just say something like this to the Lord. Say, Lord, if Brother Randy is seeking something to me from you, then why don't you confirm to me that if there's something that you want me to do, like you told Abraham to leave his mother and father, to go to another place. In other words, to go from one place of nothing going on to going to a new place where something is going on, that's a new place. So most of the time when God has somebody, he gets ready to move somebody out and take them to a new place, he usually asks them to get up and walk, you know, toward that, you know, toward something. He gives you a clue what he wants you to do. So, So, thank you, Lord, for the process that you will see the process, and you know, and she will begin to understand that, you know, her ways are not your ways, Lord, but you're going to show her your ways, and so that we ask you to open up her eyes and show her, you know, the process of things and, you know, and what she needs to do to activate, you know, the right information to get to put things into action to where, you know, things can start moving forward.
Yeah.
And, so show her that, Jesus, open that up for her and let her see that in Jesus' name and let her understand that. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You're welcome. When you say they're not doing anything, what do you mean by that? Just got a slow process, or just like?
Well, I was injured, and it needs a medical process, and they just are putting it off. We're going into 6 months now, and
putting it off as in not taking it to court or not what?
I had to obtain an attorney because they weren't doing anything as far as medically. They would talk to me, but nobody's actually done anything physically to me. And I went and got another opinion, and they said, "Oh yes, something can be done, but it's very expensive. What needs to be done?" And it feels like a racket.
Well,
you know, like.
Well,
everybody's talking to everybody, but they're leaving me out. But it's me who's hurt, so it's really hard.
So in other words, you're talking about that they're not you need some therapy of some kind, and they're not giving you the therapy you need so you can start recovering.
I actually need an operation. Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Interesting. And so the more that lingers on, does your situation does it get worse? Does it just stay the same, or do you know?
It's it's a part of my knee, and it's torn. And the more mobile I am, it could cause stress, and it could rip further. I've been very careful. I don't live with anyone, so I've been able to really baby it. But to go back and do the job that I was doing, I can't. It's going to cause further injury. And they know that there's a procedure that can be done, but they're trying to not do it. They're saying that my age may cause there to be more damage if it is done. And it's just, they're not, like I said, they're not talking to me. They're talking around me. and nothing's been done. Nothing's been done.
Yeah. Okay. Right. All right. Okay. Well, you know, just God may give you some things to do, some things to step out and do to activate. I don't know. I really don't know. It's like a, I just go by the words that I get when I talk to somebody. I didn't know you
yeah.
were in a legal case. As far as I know, I don't remember. I didn't have a clue
yeah,
what that had to do with. Yeah. So go ahead.
And I do think the Lord has been leading me, and I haven't known exactly where I was headed, but I do believe that I've been heeding what he's been telling me during the last
okay.
6 months. Yes.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I did identify with that. I did.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, great. Well, then that just tells you that he's trying to help you with it. That's what he's showing you, that he's trying to help you with it.
Yes. And just to know them being backed by prayer for where
yeah.
this is headed is a nice feeling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right. That reminds
yeah.
me, tell everybody, Deborah, one of our hosts that does shows on Tuesdays, like today, she wasn't able to do her show. She had a rear end. Somebody rear-ended her in her car, and she's a little sore, so pray for her while you're praying
mm-hmm.
for other situations. And
Lord,
thank you, Jesus,
Lord.
for opening up that place for Deborah to be healed and blessed and protected and, you know, watched over. And as you do that with Janice, and as you work with Janice, to show Janice how to continue to just obey your voice, God, so you can take her to that new place. You know?
Thank
yeah.
you, Lord.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right, Janice. We will
All
definitely
right.
be praying for you about that. And
I appreciate that.
Okay, you're so welcome. Anything else before I move on?
Just family and for our country. Yes.
Family and what?
Country.
Our country, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're doing
always.
That. Yeah, we need that always. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, you are.
All right.
Yes.
All right, Janice, thank you very much. All right, bye-bye.
All right, thank
you. Oh, you're welcome. You're so welcome. All right, let's go here to 210. Whoops, I clicked the wrong one. I think that was Angie. I meant to click 210-527. Who am I talking to from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey.
All right. Hey,
thank
good
you for
to talk
calling
to you.
My number.
you're welcome. Good to have you tonight. Let's mute you for a second. I'm going to mute you, and we'll pray for you, and then we'll come back and talk and see what's happening. Thank you for Michelle from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for sometimes God disguises himself. Sometimes the enemy disguises himself. You know, you never get the disguise. You have to know what's behind the mask, what's behind the, you know, sometimes God will, you know, God does disguise himself at times. You know, he'll disguise himself as an angel. He'll disguise himself as, you know, it says be entertaining angels unawares. You know, what's unawares? That means that he's, you know, it's not revealed. It's a mystery. God does things in mystery ways. And so show Michelle how to know the difference between something being veiled or mysterious or disguised. You know, we know Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, but also God disguises himself sometimes as to see, like he says, be aware of entertaining angels unawares. Be aware of that. Sometimes we entertain angels unawares. You know, so it's like being aware of things that, you know, God is doing that seem to be, you know, hidden or that you can't really see it on the outward appearance. It doesn't look like it's one. It looks like it's God, but it is, right? And sometimes the same thing with faith. And so the enemy uses the same exact strategies, you know, to disguise himself as something. So, Lord, I thank you for opening her eyes and showing her the disguises. You know, sometimes we need to see that that's an angel unaware, not a devil, not a demon. It's an angel from God. God's trying to bless me or something. And I need to, you know, be aware of it and you know, to obey your voice every day, learn to walk with you every day. And when I have those things that I'm not aware of, that I do the right thing. And when the enemy's trying to disguise himself as an angel of light, trying to appear as something good, that I see that, step into that, that I'm aware of that. Because the light that I have, the light that Michelle has, is the light of Jesus. And the light of Jesus and the light of that the enemy you know, tries to walk in his own light, that light is not the same light. It's darkness. The Bible says, let not that light that is in you be darkness. And so, you know, Satan appears as an angel of light, but that light is phony light. It's fake light. So if you walk in the real light always reveals the phony light and the things that are phony and fake and disguised of the enemy. So this whole realm of you know, how God disguises himself as, you know, sometimes as an angel. He appeared many times in the Old Testament, you know, as people didn't know. He just looked just like a man. Yeah, and those who were spiritual, you know, like Abraham, were aware that there's something special about these men, right? Yeah, so I don't know what that has to do with, but we'll see. All right, Deborah. All right, Michelle, what's going on?
Well, I'm just I just wanted to call to get prayer. I actually want to get prayer about my future spouse. I feel like this season is coming. I've been waiting a long time, and it hasn't happened, and I'm just really wanting to get prayer about that.
Well, good. That's a good thing. You know, God made us to – why did God make us to not be alone? And sometimes it's so hard to find somebody – you know, I mean, I think it's probably always been a situation, you know. You know, it's just always been a thing of finding not only a mate, but the right mate, you know. And so, yeah, it really is. And God made us to not be alone, right? He made us to be, you know, Paul the Apostle was one of the few that was made to be single. And, you know, there's very few of those. But, you know, so you'd think it would be a lot easier. You'd think it would just kind of like automatically happen. But I think the world system doesn't like it when I think the devil doesn't like it when a Christian finds another Christian, you know, that they can get along with and have fun with and fellowship. I think that it robs him of some of his satisfaction he gets out of leaving people alone, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's a real strategy. And I think that he's always trying to, and then when you finally find somebody, then he tries to break it up, you know, bring strife and division. And because he knows that when two people get together and it's God, that those two people are going to have a place that's going to be beautiful, wonderful, not perfect, but, you know, and he tries to get in there. It just shows you how powerful that marriage and friendship and love is. It's just powerful, and the devil does not like it at all.
Yeah, it just seems like lately I keep meeting these men that they always like me, but they don't like me enough, and then they meet somebody else that they like more, and then I get left behind. And that's just been a reoccurring theme in the last several, with several people that I've liked, and it's just getting a little bit frustrating. So I've been praying for a long time about it, and I was praying about it before I called, and I was just really crying out to the Lord.
Good.
And just saying, I'm really ready for that. I'm really at that point in my life where I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and you know, for God to unveil for you, you know, when things come to you, when the right person comes along, that your eyes would be open to be able to see that, you know.
Right.
And that they would see you and that they would be, that you would be unveiled to them and they would be unveiled to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think maybe that's what the part of the word that I was trying, I didn't understand what that word was having to do with, but maybe that's something we might want to look at just for a second here, you know, because I don't have a clue how to work with that one with this, but you know, it's very much the truth of what I'm saying, that, and so, you know, the enemy does try to hide people from us that we can't communicate, that will be lovers instead of just friends. You know, we need to be friends with our lovers, but the enemy tries to disguise them and tries to hide them from us. and keep them from it. So I'm just working with the information that I got. And so, God, I thank you that Michelle will recognize those people, those young men that will be just friends, and that she can be friends with them and know that that's what she has with them, and that it's okay. But that what she wants is what you have designed for her, and that is a man that she can fellowship with, that will love her and that will adore her and appreciate her. But I thank you for any interference that the enemy has and is involved in her life, that you will either I take authority over you, Satan. You're a liar and you're a deceiver. You try to disguise things that look right, and then they're not right, and they bring disappointment to us, right? Because it looks good, and then we get the disappointment of it all, and the enemy just goes, gotcha, I deceived you. You know, I did that. So I thank you, Lord, for same thing with angels. Be you know, angels unawares. Sometimes angels unawares could be interpreted as, you know, your angel or your man of God, your man. And so when we entertain them, you know, we need to know, you know, God, you know. So bring that angelic man, I mean, I'm just going to ask this, in her way, God, and she will see it and recognize it, recognize him, and he will recognize her. And, you know, and it will be holy, beautiful, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So I've never prayed a prayer like this over somebody in a relationship situation, you know, for a relationship is what I'm talking about right now. I've never done it before. Never thought about it. Never even prayed, never even thought about praying like that. So, So in Jesus' name, uncover God, reveal, unveil in Jesus' name, and let the disguises of the enemy be exposed. Not that she can say, oh, that's a bad, but she will know that that's just a friend. That's the person. I'm not going to have a relationship with them. And just know that, and that's the way it is. That way there's not that, you know, pain that she goes through. So we thank you, Lord, for opening up her eyes to show her that, and bring them in, bring the man that she will connect with in love, and not just friendship only, but in love. And, you know, and intimacy and friendship like a man and a woman, like a man and a woman who are going to get married and live their life together. Open her eyes to that, God. Let the disguises come off. Let the satanic interference of that be broken in Jesus' name. Let her see that what that man is and what he is going to be to her in Jesus' name. Like, you know, you've heard of people seeing a man or a woman for the first time in their life and go, I'm going to marry that person, and they may not even see him again for a year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And God showed him instantaneously. He unveiled that person for them. I've heard of a few of them. I don't know. I think a lot of it goes on. It's not real. People say, I'm supposed to marry you. Oh, I'm already married. I don't care. Okay, I'm going to marry you anyway. You're going to marry me. I didn't hear that. But there are times that really has happened. You've heard of that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah. My point is with that, Michelle, is that, see, I've never, like I said, I've never thought about this before. I've never gone here to this specific, with this specific information that I've heard of people say that they just saw somebody in the store, saw them at church, saw them at school, saw them somewhere, whatever, college or whatever it is, and they go, you know, they just look at them and they don't even know who they are, and they're going, that's going to be my wife. You know what happened right then? There was an unveiling that went on. And then it actually happened, you know? And I've heard a story to where, you know, the girl would know the guy's going to marry, that's going to be my husband, and he would reject her for like a year or two. And then one day he just realized, you know, that's my woman, you know, and it got revealed to him. So that's where I'm going with. That's where I think the Lord is going with this right now, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you for the same thing. Show that. Reveal that. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Open up. Unveil. Take the veil off. Let it be revealed, God. What? Here's the scripture that I'm getting. This is pretty cool. I haven't ever done this before in this particular area. And it's one of the scriptures I was kind of reading tonight. Yeah, here it is. I have not seen, neither ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man or a woman, the things which God has prepared for those that love him, or the person of which God has. Now watch this, Michelle. This is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. In fact, you might want to think about this scripture and start quoting it. 1 Corinthians 2, I have not seen nor ear heard. Talk about your ear or your this man's ear. Nor has it entered into the heart of the man or Michelle. What's the things in this situation? A man or a woman, but the man which God has prepared for Michelle, who loves God.
That's so beautiful.
And start praying. Yeah, start praying some scripture. You know, when God gives. Listen, when I've been talking, I've been teaching on this for the last few days. That you can have a scripture, but if that scripture's not opened up to you by the Lord, it's not going to bring any faith. Faith only comes by hearing the word, not by listening to it or listening to it being preached. It comes by you hearing it. What's it saying to you? And once it speaks to you, then faith comes. But until it speaks to you, it's just dead. It's just it's beautiful, sounds wonderful. But when it's quickened to you by the Holy Spirit, that means that it's for you and that it's going to bring you faith for that particular thing. So this is the scripture that I'm getting for you. I believe it's personal. I think the prophetic realm does that very thing. It takes a word from God and applies it to a person personally and says, listen, Michelle, if you'll pray as God guides you to pray this scripture and put your name in there, you know, I haven't seen, nor neither have I heard, nor has it entered into my heart yet, for the person which God has prepared for me. Lord, you know I love you, and you have somebody prepared for me. You know, I haven't seen it yet. As far as I know, it hasn't entered my heart yet or entered into his heart yet. But I'm asking you to do it now in Jesus' name. But it says in verse 9, in the next verse, it says, but God has revealed this person to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, Jay, the deep things of God. If you get a chance to read the rest of that and apply your name to that and maybe put it on your mirror or your whatever, on your refrigerator, what are you going to do? And put your name in there and fix that scripture. To where it has, you know, your particular situation, and start praying it. Because now you have, in my opinion, once you have a God quickening word for something, it's going to bring it to pass.
Well, and it's also
you a scripture because I thought about it. It would be different. Go ahead.
Well, and it's also eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. You have to think about what did I just say earlier? The disappointment. Well, this is going to be somebody that's going to be really special because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. You know, it's something that you wouldn't normally think about, right?
Like a treasure, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's been hidden. It's a hidden treasure.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great word.
I think we're onto something here. That is a great word. Listen, girl, I've prayed over a lot of marriage things and people find their husband and their wife, because I really believe it's a beautiful thing from God. And I think that I have, you know, like we have had a couple of women just in the last few weeks that have gotten promise rings that haven't had one for, you know, one of them, her husband died about a year ago. And, you know, and she wasn't out looking, you know, it just happened. And it just happened to live across the street from her, you know. And now he gave her a promise ring like 2 weeks ago. And then we have Martine from California. If you remember Martine from California, she'd been trying for like 8 years and finally got a promise ring, what, I think 2 weeks ago. And that's been, she'd been calling in for 8 years. Yeah, 8 years. Yeah, she called me today. She said, Randy, we finally went and got the ring. And she couldn't hardly believe it.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, it's kind of a word in due season, because I'm in a situation right now where I was just praying about this, and I just thought, you know, sometimes in our flesh we think, how could God allow certain things to happen? But that's just the flesh. But long story short, I moved into an apartment complex. There was a really handsome guy. He was always checking me out. I was noticing him.
And I thought maybe something was going to happen. I really liked him. And then another girl moved in. And he went after
oh,
that
wow.
girl. And I live
oh,
here,
yeah.
and I have to see this every day. Every day,
wow.
I have to see that he chose her over me. I have to encounter
yeah.
it. It's right in front of my face. She lives in my building.
Oh, wow.
And it has been so heartbreaking. It has broken my
wow.
heart to the core. And I just, why would God even allow me to even, I mean, I prayed about where to move, you know, and then this is what I get to see a front row
right.
seat every day in this. And so
wow.
it's kind of an encouraging word, you know, because that's been a heartbreaking
yeah.
situation. In fact, I've even gone so far as to think, should I move? But I have a lot of friends here. I love my little apartment. But it's been heartbreaking to watch
yes.
this. And
well,
so
no wonder I kept saying that about you going through pain over it. You know, that now I see why I was saying that.
Yes.
I've always saying it, yeah.
Very, very. And then I'm telling you, I have felt the Lord's presence so strongly recently. When as soon as they got together, it was like I felt his presence all around me. It was like in a way that I hadn't before, and it was just like, I know this is brutal. I know this is so painful, but I'm right here with you. I'm and it's just, he's just carried me through. He's literally carried. I mean, I can't tell you how painful it's been. It's been horrible.
Yeah.
And then the guy avoids me when he sees me, and he, you know, it's a whole big mess. I'm sure
yeah.
it's uncomfortable for them. It's uncomfortable for me.
Sure.
And so just to even, I even thought, like, should I even ask for prayer for, like, peace over this situation? But I feel like it'll work
sure.
itself out. But anyway, his name is Elijah, and if you could, maybe we should just pray for peace over this whole, because we've really, it's been a very challenging situation to have to live amongst each other with
yeah.
this.
Right. Well, you know, and that's just a, yeah, hang on a second. Okay, yeah. So I just have to tell you that you're drawn on the anointing tonight because, like I said, I have prayed over many times over people, for mates and different kind of things. And the reason I know there's also a new anointing on this is because of the two people that got promise rings just in the last couple of weeks. I mean, 2 weeks apart from each other. One of them been calling in for 8 years and
wow.
been dating the same guy. And he would never ask her to marry. He never asked her to marry. He ran it. He's not asking me to marry him. You know, it's breaking my heart. It's like, you know, I want marriage. I want marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm going, okay, I don't know. And I would prophesy to her about this and that and the other. And then he decides they live in California. He gets a new job in Texas and moves away without asking her to marry him, asking him to marry her. And so she was crying here on the show. It's happening all here on the show. She was crying. She was upset. She, what am I going to do now? He's gone. You know, he's leaving. Is this over? You know, if she was just like, you know, flipping out. And I said, you know what, Martine? I said, you know, and right in the middle of this, and I was almost like excited about it and almost laughing about it. She was crying and I was laughing, right? It's crazy. I said, you know what? He's going to get away. He's going to get away from you, and he's going to realize how much he needs you. He said, you think so? I said, I don't know what the work's on me. Sure enough, girl, that's what happened. He moves away, and he starts missing her. And, you know, it went on for a few weeks. Maybe a couple, I don't know, maybe in a couple, 2-3 months. I can't remember now exactly. But so she calls in, I think, 2 weeks ago and says, Randy, you know, so I start praying over her, and she says, he's coming all the way from, he's flying from Houston to California. And he said, we're going to go get her ring.
Wow.
And she confirmed it by text that they did go that weekend and they got a ring. And he still hasn't asked her to marry him yet. He hasn't asked her to marry him yet. But, you know, this is close. This is, you know, it's gotten closer and closer. And then we had somebody else, you know, last week, I think, told me they get a promise ring, you know, and this is from a neighbor across the street that she'd never even paid attention to before. And he just came over and helped her fix her flat or did help her start her car or something. I remember what it was. And then within a few months, you know, I mean, you know, he's just, so she was excited about it. Anyway, so I'm just saying that because I've been praying for marriage stuff for people for a while. And that's the two latest things that have gone on. So, and then tonight when you're calling in, you know, I have never gotten, I mean, that scripture and all that that came out of, for me about praying like we did, I've never got anything like that before. Never.
First time. Wow. Well,
so
you know,
I take that really serious.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I've talked to you before about my childhood pastor, how he was a really, really anointed man, and he passed away from cancer,
yes.
But there was lots of signs and wonders under his ministry. Well, when I was 25, he called me up to the front of the church, and he said, the Lord just showed me that before you were ever born, he had already handpicked out who you were going to marry. And I thought about that. But then I thought, I mean, I'm in my 40s. It hasn't happened. Maybe I missed it. Something went wrong, you know, whatever.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
You know, but that's definitely a major encouragement because I'd kind of given up on that, you know.
Wow, yeah. Well, I think that because here's the big difference with anything I've ever given anybody before, ever, is that I've never gotten a scripture that God quickened to me by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, you've been in these teachings before. You understand what I'm saying? You can get a scripture out of the Bible, and I've got a Bible scripture. I'm going to stand on it. Well, that doesn't mean a thing to me. If the Holy Spirit's not quickening that word for you, then it may be, you know, it could be for the future. It could be for, you know, 20 years down the road. It could be for never. It could just be some good scripture. But when the Holy Spirit quickens it for you, then it's for you. And then it's for you, it brings faith. And when faith comes, which comes by hearing the word, not just listening to the word, not just reading the word, but hearing what the Holy Spirit says about it. And he says to you tonight, he says, but it is written for you, Michelle. You're moving around or something. Your phone is making a lot of noise. But as it is written, it says, that's okay. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man. Now watch this. It concerning with the pastor word that the pastor gave you. I mean, this is like a hidden thing, the things which God has prepared. I mean, what did he tell you?
Mm.
That God had prepared for you already, right? That's kind of what you said?
Before you were born, yep.
Okay, there you go. It doesn't say before you were born here, but it says the things which God has prepared for those that love him, but it shall be revealed to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So anyway, that to me is a Bible. It's not just a Bible scripture. It is a quickened word out of the mouth of God for Michelle from Texas tonight.
Wow.
So get ready,
that's
girl.
Incredible.
Get ready. I don't know if that guy may decide he doesn't want her, he wants you. I don't know if it's going to be some other guy. I really don't know that yet. But if you start praying that prayer, and even you know what you could do? You could pray for this guy, Elijah. What's his name, Elijah, you say?
Elijah. Mm-hmm.
Elijah. You might pray for Elijah, you know, and just pray for him. God, you know, God, if this woman is not for him, open his eyes. Because so his eyes can see and his ears can hear what you have for him. And if this woman is for Elijah, it's in the same, you know, complex, then let it be. But if it's not, God, open his eyes. You see what I'm saying? And it's a good scripture to even pray for him and even her and pray for her. God, if Elijah's not for her, then open her eyes. Let her see this so they don't make a big mistake.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, can you also just pray that God would just completely heal me, which I believe the scripture is confirming that he will, but just that it'll be a quick healing of my broken heart from this, because it's been heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to be rejected and then to have to see it with somebody else.
It is. Yeah, I can imagine what that's like. I've had some situations just like that where I don't even want to go there. I'm not even going to talk about it because, yeah, I've had some similar situations. So I know exactly what that could be and how hard it could be. So I thank you, Jesus, for Michelle. God, I thank you, Lord, for letting this scripture, as she prays the scripture, here's what I'm getting, Michelle. As you pray the scripture, it's like putting Niels Bohr or the Balm of Gilead on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you have a wound, you know, you have to apply, like I just cut my finger a couple of days ago, cut it pretty good, and it bled pretty good at the end of my little pinky finger. I picked up something and had a little sharp thing and just cut my finger good, and I was bleeding everywhere. And so now what am I doing? I got a Band-Aid on it with Neosporin on it. Neosporin helps it heal up fast. And so every day I apply new Neosporin, maybe twice a day, a new Band-Aid and a new Neosporin on it. Man, it's healing up quick. But if it without that, it would take forever, you know. And so, like, every time you use the scripture to apply it to your heart, as you pray for him, because sometimes what did Job have to do to get his blessing? Remember, he had to pray for the people that wounded him. Now, this guy didn't wound you on purpose. And I don't think Job's friends that told him, you know, he was messed up were trying to hurt him, but he was hurt by it. And what did God say? He said, as you pray for your friends, I'm going to double you or I'm going to bless you. Right? So he prayed for his friends and God doubled Job. So as you apply this balm of Gilead to them, to him and to her and to yourself, that I have a feeling that somehow it's going to heal you. It's going to help you get through it. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that Michelle will take the word of God, not just any word of God, but a life-quickening, specific, detailed word for Michelle that was given to her by the Holy Ghost tonight through your servant, and says, but as it is written, that's what Jesus said when he was being tempted by Satan. Satan said, jump off this thing. Quoted Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. Jump off this thing. The angels take care of you. And Jesus goes, yeah, but it is. And he said, because Satan said, it is written. But Jesus said, it is also written. So when we have something that's written and quickened, that I have not seen, neither ear heard, open up Elijah's eyes and the girl, whatever her name is, nor had it entered into Elijah's heart or to her heart or to Michelle's heart, the person for which God has prepared for those to, you know, who love him. Open up their eyes, God. Reveal it to them by your spirit. Reveal it to me. Reveal it to that girl. And make it a sense of intercession. And as you do that, as you pray for them, God's going to double you or heal you.
Wow.
And bless you.
That's awesome. That's incredible. Which it's not an easy thing to do, to pray for someone that's hurt you. Because I really liked this guy. Really, really liked him. And it's been a really painful, been really hard. And you can tell that it's really hard on him too, that he feels really uncomfortable when he sees me. Because, I mean, I was one of the girls of interest. It's just not a good situation. But I'm grateful for that scripture. I really am. I needed to hear that because that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's the thing that makes it really wonderful is that it came from the Holy Spirit. You know,
I mean,
like I said, I've never had that happen before. And plus it lines up with the prepared scripture that you've talked about that scripture before that your pastor gave you a couple of times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you talk about that, which is awesome. That's kind of what he said, prepare. So there it is. That's even more confirming.
I know. That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's awesome.
The glory, Lord.
Amen. That's
because
incredible.
It shows
That's
you
a
how,
really great word.
Yeah, it shows you how interested Jesus is in relationships. He's very, very into relationships, you know. I mean, big time. More than I think we realize. That's why he says he hates divorce. You know what? He hates it because it destroys the people that once loved each other. You know what I mean? It's like the destruction of a relationship. The Bible says God hates it. And when God hates something, that's pretty rough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's really into relationships. He did the first... God himself did the first marriage in the Garden of Eden.
Mm.
Don't tell me God's not interested in it.
Yeah.
He did the very first wedding ever. He made them and then he married them. He made them and then he married them. Eminem. Made and married.
Eminem.
Eminem matrimony. Yeah, matrimony. He made them. He made Adam. Then he made Eve out of his rib. And then he matrimonied them.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I love that. Well, there's one thing, you know, I wanted to tell you. About 6 months ago, somebody else that I had been in a relationship with that I really had cared a lot about got engaged. And it was right around that time that I had opened some magazine or something. Or I, you know, like when you're looking at something and the Lord uses something to speak to you.
Yep.
And the paragraph said, one of these days, you're going to realize why God made you wait so long.
Oh.
And that's what the message said. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And so it's like that word and then this word. Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, I think what, you know, you'll just have to, you know, decide yourself between you and the Lord. But I think that if you can take that word and apply it, because once we get a word from God, then you can officially apply it with power. In other words, it's not just something you're trying to work the word, but this is where the word is going to work for you, you know,
mm-hmm.
in God's behalf, in your behalf, and in their behalf, even in their behalf. You know, because what you'll be doing, what you're really doing, if they're not supposed to be together, you're going to help them break up. That sounds horrible,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it? Yeah. Now,
yeah,
I'm not
maybe,
saying that that's what you...
Or maybe they are meant for each other. Yeah, they are meant. Yeah.
You see, I'm going to be just real blunt with you. If you pray that prayer for them and it's not God's will for them, guess what? You're going to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
But with God's word. And when God's word is breaking something up, you know, you'll have to watch your motives and you have to watch your intentions, which I would have to do the same thing. Oh, God, I'm asking you to take this word and just tear that thing apart if it's not you. If it's not you, tear it apart if it's not you, Jesus. You know what I mean? So you have to really be careful. But God will show
right.
you how to apply it. And so if they're supposed to be together, that means that they'll be together and you'll have helped some people, and planting a seed for them will be planting a seed for yourself. You see what I'm saying? And if they're not supposed to be together, then what did you do? You saved a broken marriage, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person's supposed to be with you, then it'll work in your behalf and the will of God for your life. And if it's not, God will open up, you know, because you're planting a seed. If you can keep your motives and your intentions right, you know, we are human beings, you know, and we are passionate
right.
about things. So we tend to, you know, we got to be careful, but. Yeah, I'm just being really honest with you, but as you do that, you're going to be planting a seed, and who knows? This could be just like and the life quickening word I keep getting about connecting it to Job, because what broke Job through? What did God say that was going to break him through? He said, "Pray for your friends." You know, his friend, he had three friends who gave him a bunch of bad advice. We know you're guilty of something, Job, because the Bible says you don't reap stuff like this. Unless you sowed something really bad, and that's what they basically told him. And he hadn't done anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so pray for that. And also pray for your enemies. That's another word. Yeah. Yeah.
Pray for your enemies? I don't think
pray for your
in
enemies.
This case, I'm not saying. Yeah, exactly. That's the other level of it. Now, they weren't his enemy. In a sense, they were. They really loved him, and they were trying to help him. But you know how people try to help you when they think they got something, you know? I mean, if your whole life fell apart, if all your children died and all your stuff blew away in a tornado and you were stuck with nothing but maybe your wife or your husband and everything else just got taken off, just you would be thinking he did something wrong. That would be our natural inclination to think if we were counseling at one of our friends, we would think, you know, what have you been doing, man, on the side? You've been hiding from us? You know, you'd want to be honest with them and try to help them out. So that's what they were doing. They weren't really trying to be his enemy, but they kind of became an enemy in a sense that they oppressed him with that information. And it really oppressed him.
Yeah, but in this
because...
situation with – sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. This situation what?
No, I was going to say, but in this situation, yeah, there's definitely been some hard feelings in this situation. I'm talking about with my situation with the, I think with Job,
yeah.
They were just well-meaning friends that just were
yes.
just, yeah, they didn't mean to be, yeah, but in this situation, there's a lot of hurt and anger. A lot of hurt and anger between the three, especially between me and him, because, you know, we've talked, he knows that I'm upset.
Yeah.
He knows. And definitely. In fact, can we just pray that, Lord, I just pray for peace between me and Elijah. I just pray for peace over this situation. I pray for peace for everybody involved in this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you've already been given the answer for your peace, and that is for doing what Job did, and pray for them. But pray that particular scripture, and of course whatever comes up in your heart when you're praying for them. But pray that for them, and let God purify your motives. You know, let Him keep your motives clear and clean. You know, like you really do mean it. Really, God, I really do mean it. If you want to open their eyes and show them they're supposed to be together, then show them. If they're not supposed to be together, then break them up. You know.
Mm-hmm.
They can still be friends, but if they're going to get married thinking that they're in love and it's not, and they think it's you and it's not you, then, you know, so God will,
yeah.
you know, you'll as you pray those things, you're going to have to deal with your motives and your unforgiveness or you know, your pain, not your unforgiveness, but your pain, or if you have some unforgiveness. You know, I talked about a situation just recently where some people helped me move out of my studio and, you know, they stole some stuff. I know they stole it because I saw it, you know, and I just let them take it. And, you know, so about 3 months later, I'm finding bitterness in my heart about it.
Mm-hmm.
It snuck up on me. This wasn't that long ago. It snuck up on me when I wasn't looking. And I talk about it on the show, and because I talk about everything on the show so that people know what I go through and how I deal with things. Sometimes I do pretty good. Sometimes I do pretty sorry, you know. And I'm being honest with you, I said, that slipped up on me, man. I'm finding myself being very, very resentful toward those two guys. I want to go just, you know, tell them they're sorry, bunch of bums. Who do you think you are stealing from me? I blessed you and gave you, paid you more than you were worth, and then you steal from me? And I was really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up in my heart. It snuck up on me. I didn't know it was there. So, man, stuff can happen. Unforgiveness and bitterness can sneak up before you know it. So we have to watch our hearts. Yeah.
I'm very
what I'm saying
of that
is,
situation. Yeah.
Bless your heart. Yeah, I imagine that. And then you're living there with it too. So I think this scripture here is a God-breathed scripture that will help you think of it as Neosporin or the balm of Gilead. If you apply it to them, you're applying it to you. And it'll heal you. And if they're supposed to be together by God's grace and by God's will, then let God have it and let them have it. But if it's not supposed to be, then God, break them up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you pray it with, let God purify your motives, let God wash out the bitterness, the hurt, the pain, or whatever it is you're going through, just let Him wash it out, you know? That's what happened with me when I had another testimony where I had a lot of bitterness, and I'm forgetting it's for these people that basically took, you know, $5,683 and something cents from me many years ago. And I had great unforgiveness toward them. I was seeing pictures in my mind of me going up. It was a TV situation. They had TV towers and antennas, and they were supposed to do some things for me, and they didn't do it. I saw myself going up there shooting out there. You know, I was raised with guns, you know. We went hunting all the time, quail hunting, pheasant hunting. And I just picture myself going up there to their tower and shooting out some of their antennas, you know. Just stuff like that. I'm going, God, what is wrong with me, man? I couldn't believe I was thinking about that. And it was really starting to take me over. I said, God, how do I get free of that? He said, I want you to give them that money. Send them a letter and forgive them and bless them. Because, Randy, this is not worth it. You've tried to get the money. They were not going to give it. It wasn't going to happen. So now I want you to give it to them. Send them a letter, a legal letter, and say, I bless you. I give this to you. It's all yours. I forgive you, and I release you, and you have the money. It's all yours. And man, when I licked the envelope to mail it off, I started weeping. I started weeping because something broke inside of me. And man, not more than a week or 2 weeks, I can't remember, I had an attorney, an FCC attorney in Washington, D.C., that I owed twice the amount. It was over $12,000. He sent me a letter, Michelle, excuse me, with the same scripture, and I didn't tell anybody. I was embarrassed that I had, so I wasn't telling anybody but my special friends. They knew about it. Nobody else knew. Nobody knew. This attorney, without me even knowing it, sends me a letter in the mail saying, I forgive you for this $12,608, whatever it was, I owed him. It was almost exactly double of what that guy owed me.
Wow.
I went, oh, my God. Look what happened with that. It was amazing.
Wow. That is incredible. That's very incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
The amazing thing, girl, is he used the same scripture that I used, the same scripture. And like I said, I didn't tell anybody because I'm a man of God, right? I'm prophesying, praying, preaching. I don't want anybody to know I got resentment and I have pictures in my mind go up there with a shotgun shooting at his antennas. I don't want to tell anybody. That's embarrassing. You know, I kept it to myself except for my close friends, a couple of them. And they're the only ones that knew. So he could have not known. Nobody could have known that except God. And when he sent me that letter, said, I forgive you, I went, oh, my God. That time I didn't weep. That time I rejoiced because it was amazing.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's an incredible testimony. I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, God does amazing stuff like that all the time. That's incredible.
Yeah.
When, Randy, can we play real quick, one more thing before I go? I'm looking for another job right now. And it's been kind of a hard transition. I've been with my company for 5.5 years, and so I'm looking for another job. So can we just pray that God would open the right door?
Yeah, and I think as you apply this scripture, I know I'm applying the scripture to everything, but when you have hurt in your heart, it hinders, especially if you have resentment, that kind of thing, which I had, you know, even recently, maybe a few months ago, you know, it hinders everything. It hinders everything. Our blessings, God's guiding us, us being able to hear the Lord, you know. So, Lord, I thank you for, as she applies the scripture and starts praying this, as you begin to heal her heart and open up for her a new place, a new season, a new time to refresh her, Lord, with a new season, a new time of prosperity, of blessing her with a job. The provision for her, God, just open it up. Let her get a raise, or let her make more money. Let her have whatever she does. Let it be an increase for her, one way or the other. And in Jesus' name, amen. And bring peace between her and Elisha and that other person. Father, just bring that peace as she gets into the Word of God, an active, living, quickening word, life quickening word from the Holy Spirit tonight, as she applies that. Like applying the balm of Gilead to her heart, to them, and bring her into a new place, usher her into a new realm of peace, God, in Jesus' name, and joy.
Amen. Amen. I received that. Thank you so much, Randy. That was awesome.
All right, Michelle. All right.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Yes, it was.
Right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's go here to 225-454. Who am I talking to? Refund, please.
Hello, this
Karen?
Is Karen calling from Louisiana.
Karen, we got cut off last night.
Yep, we sure did.
Yeah, and I had actually forgot about that until I saw your number right now. I just now saw your number on there. But you know what I'm going to do real quick also? Hang on just a second here.
Okay.
You know, just a minute. I'm going to be right there. Okay. All right. Okay, I am ready. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Let's pray for Karen. All right, I'm going to mute you, Karen, just for a moment. And okay. You're saying to me big time while talking to Michelle. If you take my call, I can't say my quest, but I'm being attacked in my sleep. Oh, by a spirit. Okay. All right. All right. We'll pray over that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my friend Karen tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her and for her life, God. We thank you for opening her up to new territory. Oh, the new territory word again. New territory. taking her new places, new place, new anointings, new silencing the enemy, silencing the accuser. You know, I know the accuser thing is very big with the enemy is always accusing us for the Father. I know that's what Scripture says. That it says when Michael casts Michael, and eventually when Michael does cast Satan out of heaven by the will of the Father, you know, it says there's no more accuser before the Satan's not there to accuse us before God anymore. That's an amazing thing. So we know that's important. So I thank you, Lord, for Karen. I thank you that concerning her brother, concerning her situations that she's in, God, that the accuser of the brethren, which is the enemy, be silenced. God, do you show her how to silence the enemy, how to shut him off from her? You know, he can speak, but we don't hear him. We're deaf to him and deaf to his. There's something about entitlement, I'm getting the word entitlement. Okay, entitlement. Okay, so something about entitlement. So sometimes the enemy thinks he's entitled to accuse us because of some mistake we made, you know, last week or, you know, 20 years ago. He's entitled. There's an entitlement. So I thank you, Lord, for whatever the entitlement thing is that the enemy thinks he has or that Karen maybe thinks that, you know, mistakes she's made, failures she's had, we all have them, that she identifies that in Christ when we are forgiven and the blood of Jesus washes us, we are made new and we are justified before the Father, meaning that we are just as if we never sinned, just as if we never did anything wrong. Once we get forgiven, it's just as if we never did it wrong, never made a mistake, never sinned, never failed. That's what justified means, just as if we never did it. And I thank you, Jesus, that whatever entitlement the enemy thinks he has, in Jesus' name, that Karen will, the word to work that says, I am justified in Christ Jesus. In other words, just as if I never did it, because God has blessed me, forgiven me, loved me from every mistake, every sin, every failure. In Jesus' name, therefore there's no entitlement of the enemy. There's no entitlement. We rob him of his entitlement from Karen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Karen. We got shut off. That was awesome. We got shut off last night. But we're back tonight. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. That word right there was just awesome.
Yeah.
That hit the core, Lord Jesus. That was wonderful. I'm just Woo! Praising God. Yeah,
wow.
The glory was all over that one.
Hey, I felt it too, girl. And that entitlement thing, and then the other thing that we were talking about, the accuser of the brethren. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
those two things together really hit, didn't it?
It did. Because, you know, right now, I mean, I've never told you, but my brother, he's been accused of something like from years ago. So, the enemy thinks he's entitled, but he's a lie. Yes,
Lord. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
God.
Woo, I see what you're talking about now. My gosh. That's amazing.
Yes, Lord. That's the on time word.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just give you back your word. Listen, Karen, once God gives us a word, when the Bible
mm-hmm.
says that we remind him of it, in other words, what we're doing is we're reminding him of it. We are saying, we're doing what the Word of God says. When we get a life-quickening word from the Holy Spirit out of the Scripture, like the entitlement, I mean, the word entitlement, I don't think is actually written in the Word, but that's what it means. You know, the entitlement word is in Scripture, but it didn't maybe use that exact word, but it's still saying the same thing, as you know. But so once we get a Scripture or a word or information that is life quickening from the Holy Spirit, then we can apply
mm-hmm.
that with power and assurance that this is not just another Scripture that somebody's giving you. This is a life quickening word from the mouth of God, which means that when you
Amen.
Pray that and you say that, it's powerful.
Glory to God. Hey, and I've just been talking to God, you know, all week.
And one of the things he gave me is that I have this thing going with my family where every day we decree the word of God over ourselves and the family. And each person takes turn decreeing about 3-5 things, scripture or whatever we in need of.
Oh.
You know, it's just, you know, trying to walk in that boldness and activate the word of God in our lives. You know, so.
Yeah.
Hey, praise God for working.
Yeah. Especially when, now the way I teach it is that we know the word, we claim the word, but all the word of God is for us, every bit of it. So, but what makes something really special and powerful, it's like God pulls out a particular scripture that fits something in a way that we would have not have fit it necessarily. Ooh. We would not have applied that scripture. But the Lord says, hey, you got some good scripture there, but try this one here. This is the one that's going to really impact the situation. So pray this one. This one will mm-hmm. be done by faith. Because when you get a word from God, not just reading scripture, but when you hear something out of the word from God, and God says, hey, this is the one. When you hear that, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Once you hear a word, you know, from the Holy Spirit where he quickens the information, then that faith comes. And when you pray in faith, the devil has to go, man.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Continue to make your word known to us, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
I thank you so much.
The prayer,
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, too. The prayer of a righteous woman availeth much. That's the other scripture I just got. That God is putting.
God.
I don't just read scripture to people. I don't just sit there and, let me see if I come up with something. The Holy Spirit just brings it up out of my spirit from the Holy Spirit. And when I give them to you, they're God-breathed. I mean, as a prophet, when I'm speaking it to you, I'm not just speaking it to you as a teacher, a revelator. I'm speaking it to you as a God-inspired word from heaven. And when he says that you know, the prayers of a righteous woman, speaking of you, of a righteous person, availeth much. So, Lord, I thank you for her prayers, especially as she learns more and more how to pray, not just any scripture. All scriptures is given by God. It's all inerrant word of God. But when the Holy Spirit picks out one, you got a million words. But he pulls out one. He said, this is the one, baby. Hit him with this. Hit him with this one. This will take him down. David, you got 5 stones. Pull out that one. Get that one right there. That's the one, baby. Just throw that one. That's the one that's going to go right between his armor. It's just small enough. The other ones are a little bit too big. They're small, but it's just the right size. And David, when you throw that particular stone and you throw it at Goliath, it's going to fit right between his eyes, which no other stone will do because all the rest of them are too big. It's just the perfect size. And boom, he goes down, man. He don't even have a chance. He's down on the ground. And pretty soon David's over there cutting his head off, man. He tore him up. I mean, he destroyed that devil. That accuser, that fear-mongering spirit of hell. Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Wow. I'm getting stirred up here, girl. You're stirring me up. I'm getting stirred.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank the Holy Ghost for being in the midst.
Yes. We give you glory, Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Man, without you, Lord, we can't do it. But with you, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
All things.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It won't win this one. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory.
Yeah, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to mean this for good in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Somehow, some way, I don't have a detail on what's going to go on with it, but we know that you're going to win the victory. And what that victory is, we don't know, but we know that you are going to win it, and that's all we're interested in. But your thoughts are higher than ours. You know what's best. You know what's going on. You know how to whoop up. You know how to take care of business. And with God, we just trust you that when we throw that stone at Goliath, the one particular one you said is just the right size, because they had that head armor on. They had those big old helmets, those brass helmets on. And there was a little place between the eyes
but it had to be a stone, had to be a rock just the right size. Couldn't be too big, couldn't be too small. It had to be just right. When God says throw that one, he said, this is the one. Those are the four. They're good ones, but this is the one for Goliath. And he throws it and hits him right between the armor. It fits right between that little spot between the eyes, man. I mean, it was very hard to get it in there, but the right size, baby. Oh, my God. Come on.
Yes, boy. Show us how to knock Goliath out, Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord. The strategic plan.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Jesus. We give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
My Lord
yes,
and my God. Yes. We do.
The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. We thank you, Holy Ghost.
Liberty. Yes.
Yes, Lord.
And let that liberty reign throughout her brother's life, her family's life. Liberty, 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 in Jesus' name.
Yes, you will.
Hallelujah.
Destroy the stress and the oppression. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Move.
Yes, move. And the whole, when the Holy Spirit goes after something, he doesn't just pop it in the head a little bit and say, hey, you know, devil, wake up. he whacks them out between the eyes, and then he goes over there at the sword of the Spirit and then finishes the job where they can never get up again.
Destroy
well, they can never threaten.
Yes.
Yeah, the anointing destroys the yoke. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Jesus.
Swing
that stone,
good.
Lord. We're throwing rocks, but these rocks are from the Holy Ghost. The enemy's
yes,
been
Lord.
Throwing rocks, been casting stones, trying to stone people for maybe even something that they did do. Like the woman caught in adultery, they were fixing to stone her. Well, Jesus pulled out a stone. It was a word. He said, which one of you hath no sin? And they all went, oh, I guess we won't be doing any stoning today because we just got stoned with the word of God.
Glory to God.
Even though she was guilty, they couldn't nail her because even though she was guilty, Jesus said, I didn't come to nail people. I came to set people free.
Praise you, Lord.
Yeah. I set them free from stuff. I don't just hold them accountable. I mean, hold them accountable is okay, but Jesus said, you know, I came to set the captives free, not like make them remind them of their sin. I came to set them free of their sin. I didn't come to, you know, to put them in prison over their sin. I came to set them free from their sin.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. We serve a wonderful
right.
God, I tell you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for drawing that out of the Lord and me. So, sweet Jesus, he's on the job, that's for sure.
Yes. And as my grandmother would say and the old folks would say, he's on the main line. Tell him what you want.
Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus
yes.
on the main line, tell him what you want. How else does it go? Remind me how that song goes. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Okay.
Call him up and tell him what you want.
Yeah. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. There's something else to it. I can't remember. I used to sing that song with a bunch of brothers many years ago. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Yes, boy. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Well, you brought it up, girl. I just sang it.
I know. I do it
I just
all the
sang
time.
It.
We'll sing songs I haven't heard in years.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, there's nothing like a good song from the Lord, man. I mean, you know, when he brings up something, brother, when he brings it up, it's powerful. I don't care what it is, whether it's a song, a poem, or hymn, you know, a scripture, whatever he brings up, when he brings it up, it's going. Jesus said, I work because my Father works. And when my Father's working and he's working on saving people, he's not trying to put people in prison for their mistakes. He's trying to heal them and deliver them and set them free so they can walk around free. free not just of prison, but free of the problem, free of the issue, free of whatever it is, whatever damaged them when they were a child. He wants to heal them of that, deliver them of that. Not put them in a prison and make them remind them of what they did for 30 years or 20 years. He wants to set them free, cast that devil out of them, get them free, whatever it is they need. That's what God does.
Yes, Lord.
Ooh. All right. Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I kind of got up and moved around there for a minute. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. I've been all over the house. From being on my knees to jumping up and down to serving God. Yes,
Yeah. That's good. It's all good. On the knees, running around. It's all works. Whatever's working is working.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
All right, Karen. We've had some revival tonight. This has been awesome.
Yes, we have. God is good. God bless you. God keep you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're helping people. And may you overflow and have great blessings ahead for you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much. And I receive all that and more. You too.
Amen.
You too, girl.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. You're so welcome. All right. Bye-bye. All right. There we go. All right. Let's take our friend from Florida here, 863-808. Cheryl from Florida. What is going on over there in Florida?
Oh, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. When we apply the blood, here comes the flood. It's the flood of blessing, the blood of glory.
Yay,
anyway, I got
things to say, so, but I'm going to let you pray if you want to. What do you want?
Okay.
You want to talk or do you want to pray?
Yeah. Well, both. We'll do both. Well, I'll pray. I'll pray, then you can pray, and you can say. You can do whatever you feel like you want to do. I don't know. We're just free. We just try to be free around here. We try to do whatever's being done. We just let the Holy Ghost do it the best we can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you're doing big. Whatever God does, he does it big. That's what I'm getting right now. He does it large. God doesn't just do it. It may start out little. Don't despise the day of small beginning. But when it starts out little, it's like a little seed. Starts out little seed. And then as it grows, especially if you put some fertilizer on it. I know about that fertilizer stuff, man. That fertilizer makes stuff grow and grow, you know, big. And, you know, I've seen trees. I learned how to fertilize, right? And natural fertilizer, too. Put fertilizer in there, and the trees start growing so fast. This tree started out growing the bark. The bark started splitting open a little bit. I had to slow it down a little bit. And then finally, the bark grew around the tree. It all started going back. You know, so whatever God does, he does it large. He wants to do it large. That's why he talks about fertilizer in the Bible. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you do with Cheryl. You do it large. You start out small. We don't despise the day of small beginning. We don't despise the thing when sometimes things don't work when we think they're supposed to work. We just keep trusting you. That's what Joseph did. Joseph is the example of what we all need to look to. When things don't seem to be going, they seem like they're going in the opposite direction. That's what Joseph thought. I know I'm not home when my brother's bowing down to me. I'm over here, you know, and I'm having a, you know, work in Egypt. I'm with all these ungodly people. What's going on? This ain't God. This can't be God. This is backwards to what God's doing. So the devil must have got in something. Something happened. Something went wrong. And the whole time, God was doing a work in Joseph. But it looked like it was going the wrong way. It looked like it was going the wrong direction. Because what God was doing with him was big. It started out with a little dream, maybe a big dream, a couple of visions, a dream, whatever. And then, you know, that started the process. He bragged about it. God used that to throw him into the jail, put him in whatever he was. Then pretty soon what God did through him was huge. It was massive. So we don't despise the day of small beginnings, right? Randy Chandler, don't despise the small beginnings. Dave. Cheryl, don't despise the day of small beginnings. When things don't always work like we think they're supposed to work, well, that's supposed to happen. You know, Joseph thought, I was already supposed to be back. I got to start, you know, growing crops and have the best crops among my brothers so they can go, look at him. His crops are really blessed. He gets 100-fold. All we got is 50-fold. you know. So I'm winning this thing, yeah, because God's blessing me. But that's not happening. Everything's just the opposite. What's going on? Because God was doing a deep work in him. God was getting him ready to do. When the deeper God goes with you, the longer it takes for sometimes for things to happen. When they happen, they can happen quick, and they can happen big. That's what happened with Joseph. All of a sudden, we went from 15 years or so, maybe longer, and without things happening, going just the opposite. Then one day, he interprets Pharaoh's dream, and then he didn't even know it. He didn't even know his dream was about to happen. He was thinking that Pharaoh would send him back home for his dream to kind of pass at home. I think that's what he was thinking. It doesn't say that, but that's what I think he's thinking. Oh, when I interpret his dream and it comes to pass, then he's going to say, you know, what do you want, Joseph? And I'm going to say, I want to go back to my father and my brothers in Canaan land. But that's not what happened. Because then in one day, he went big, large, huge. And God, that's the way you do things. That's the way you want to do things. So we don't despise small beginnings, and we also don't despise the fact those things don't come to pass. Just like Joseph got a little bitter. I think he got a little bitter for a while. A little resentful, a little anger for, because you could tell he was blaming the devil because what Satan meant for evil. What Satan meant for evil. So you know he knew Satan was involved in that, or he would have never said it to his brothers. He knew the devil was involved in trying to make him bitter, make him give up, make him quit, because God was about to use him to save the globe. He was the answer for the problem, and that's what you do with people, God. You take them, you know, you teach them. You know, things don't happen. They keep trusting you. You build in trust in them. When things don't happen like they're supposed to, you keep building trust. We may be a little resentful sometimes, a little fearful. So, oh, my God, the devil's got it. Oh, what are we going to do now? How do I fix it? How do I get it right? How do I get back on the track? And the whole time, Joseph was on track. The whole time he was on track and didn't even know it. And then one day, turned the whole thing around. One day. And he was ruling Egypt, man. His brothers came begging him, give us food, please. Please, Mr. Pharaoh's next in command. Please, they know it's his own. They know his own brother standing right in front of him. They didn't even know it. They were bowing down. And please, and one day. So, anyway. All right. So, what's going on down there in Florida?
Oh,
or up there?
Just shut me up.
Uh oh.
Man.
Just shut me up. Is that a song? Shut me up, oh Lamb of God, I'm crying to you. Oh, shut me up so I can give you all the glory. I don't think that's a song. You better come up with something better than that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shut me up.
Give me a moment.
Give me a moment now, I need it, because I can't get myself together. Oh, help me, Jesus. I need a brand new tune. I'm doing a song, giving you a chance to get your stuff together.
God.
How many songs do you need?
Yeah.
My gosh. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, yeah, I just had a bunch of people in my house, and the residue, I think, was left today. Oh my gosh. And I was being attacked before I went to sleep, and
yeah.
I thought, well, I prayed, and it's like no, I did not pray enough. And anyway, so I don't want to talk about that, but just don't forget to pray for me. I'm just
okay.
Real sensitive to whatever they bring. I feel it's like, what? Hopefully it's not me. But so anyway, when we were talking about Ezekiel the other night, and first of all, that just blew me away, Randy. I'm feeling all kind of emotions from stuff this week. And like I said about God saying, I want to be your friend, your best friend. I want to be your first go-to. I don't want you to call up so-and-so when somebody says something to you. I want the reason why I've cleared the path, and you feel like what you just said, what you just prophesied to me, is because he wants me to go get the interpretation of the dream. You know what I mean? It's like, just go to me.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did that, and everything just turned around. Anyway, I can't even get into what all happened. It all just turned around. But it's just blowing me away. But the last, I know I'm everywhere because you just messed me up. Oh, my God.
Oh, shut me up. I can make a song up like that if you need one. I mean, I can.
Oh, my God. We were talking about Ezekiel the last time I was on. And I'm like, you know, well, I was on Ezekiel when I was talking to Randy, so I got into it. Ezekiel 8 through about 13 or 14, it talks about the wall, it's about what they were doing behind closed doors. It talks about, and you know what I'm talking about when I talk about tempered, being tempered, like the tempered chandelier I always talk about, what the Lord said. He talked about and I never saw this before in that light. He talked about the untempered mortar that they built the wall with in Ezekiel.
Wow.
And I'm thinking,
right,
if you go in there, Randy, and you read it from about 8 to 13, it's kind of like, it's not the same picture, but the clues, like you were saying before, it's all in there.
Yeah.
How everybody's saying we need the wall, we need the wall. No doubt we do need the wall, but the Lord said it's made with untempered mortar and he's about to blow on it because of the sin, because of the corruption that God had to deal with, the corruption, you know. So anyway, but the untempered, I looked it up, and of course tempered means something that would hold it together, you know, hold the wall together. And so just like the Lord said he was doing in me, and think about it this week, he's like, he's just going inside of me, like you said tonight. He's just going so deep inside of me. And I really, when you were praying that, it's like I can't even get a hold of all these emotions at once because I've had to put so much on the back burner. And it's like, not, oh, woe me. It's just a fact. It has to go back to the back burner until I can deal with it. And when I deal with it, I sound like I might be swinging a little mud, but I really just want closure. You know what I mean? I want to be able to love and forgive and move on.
Yeah.
And when the Lord brings it up, I guess he's showing us you haven't loved and you haven't forgiven in this area the way I want you to, and let's move on. So it's just a lot. All of this, I'm like, how did I just bring this all together? What I saw about what Randy's been, I mean, just read it. You'll see so many clues in that of how when God's dealing with the wall came down, you think about it, the wall that was being built, and I'm not, you know that I love President Trump. I love, he's a hero, and you know, I'm just saying, oh my gosh, this is what God was doing, and this is what Randy has been talking about the whole time. He's dealing with the leaders. He told Ezekiel, dig through the wall, and he started in 8, and he says, I'm about to show you, dig through the wall. I'm like, what? And when he said that about untempered mortar, what he's been doing in his people is tempering us. For sure, he had to temper Joseph. You know, he's tempering his people, but they were literally building a wall with untempered mortar. And about the time a good wind goes by, boom, it's all phony. And he was telling, the false prophets were telling the people, peace, peace, it's all going to be okay. We're building this wall. It's all good. And the Lord's saying, it's about to fall, and I'm going to blow on it.
Wow.
Read it, Randy. It's amazing.
All right.
And he literally says, and I think it's in 13, He says, you know, you cry and you just say to these people, peace, peace, and there's not going to be peace. It's not happening. It's not coming. So.
Yep.
I don't know why I did. I was going to give it as a word, and I probably will, but because when the Lord brings it all together, I probably breathed it too fast. But I'm thinking, I'd like you to see it because of the clues and with the very thing that come out of your mouth about clues tonight. The Lord says, "I'm giving cues, and I'm giving clues." That's the word of the Lord. He said, and I started to write it, but sometimes it's just so bizarre. People won't even get what I'm saying, God. And then it comes out of your mouth. Not the cue part, but the clue part, you know. So that's what he's doing, you know. Anyway, praise God. I'm wiped out. So. I hope that made sense, but if you go read it, 8 through 13 and maybe a little more, it's...
What chapter is that?
Ezekiel 8, chapter 8.
8,
And it goes, it starts about 8 where he tells Ezekiel, dig through the wall because I'm about to show you what the elders are doing.
I remember all that.
Yeah, and so they were into a bunch of sun god worship and Ra and... everything that's going on now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff being blended and it's messed up. But messed up. So anyway, and it goes through about 13 or 14. And Chapter 13 is when he said, "You, the false prophets," I think, I'm pretty sure, that they build the wall with untempered mortar. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Oh, my gosh. And then what got me was the tempered part, because the Lord says, I'm tempering you so that you will not be broken, so that you know, every time somebody comes along with a little, you know, whatever, tries to blow you down or win, it's not going to happen. And so, and Ezekiel was like that. He was...
Cool.
Like we talked about, his forehead being harder than their forehead and stronger.
Right.
But we have to realize, and this is what I was thinking about when you were talking to that too, was sometimes we do a whole lot of warfare where we don't even need to. We just need to just say, "I'm sorry." And we don't have to do a whole lot of fighting. And most of the time people just want, they want to be loved and understood and forgive and be forgiven. I mean, that is healing right there. What you're telling Michelle was priceless. And if we can really forgive people, we can let it go. We can be washed and cleansed of it all. And just hearing you say it one more time, the way you say it, it's beautiful. God has gifted you. He's totally gifted you. And I'm thankful. I'm just thankful.
Yeah, what she was saying, you know, what you do unto, when you think about what it says, what you do unto others, it will be done unto you. It's like when I was, when the Lord was speaking to me to tell her to, you know, apply that scripture to the people who had, you know, wounded her and hurt her, that it was applying it to her, you know, and that's kind of what that scripture says. When whatever you do unto others, you know, it'll be done unto you, you know, like when you're healing, when you're trying to help, truly help, I said, watch your motive when you're praying for them and, you know, make sure your heart's right, because, you know, we are human beings and we have passion and, you know, so it'll straighten out your motives and your intentions, and you'll get in God's word, and you'll, when you bless and forgive, then it'll heal you, you know, and that's so amazing how that works. You know, when people hurt us, like Job's friends hurt him. I mean, they really, at a time he needed some real word from God. And what are they doing? They're being religious on him. Well, you know what, Job, those things just don't happen to anybody. I mean, you're reaping what you sowed. What did you sow? Come on, Job, get out in the open. And they just oppressed him with all that stuff. And he would really check himself. He really did check himself and go, you know, I looked and, I said, brothers, no, I haven't done that. That's not it. And he was waiting for a word from God, and he didn't get one. And so God had to say, hey, you know, what's going to heal you is you apply praying for them. And when God says pray for somebody, he doesn't mean just say, you know, whack them, God. He means like, you know, pray for them, bless them, you know, because when you bless them, when you bless them, you bless yourself. And that is so right, man.
And you think about Joseph, man. He had how many brothers to forgive? 11. And you think
11,
about it. I think about it, or 12 or ever how many there was left. And he had to go through all those brothers. He had all that time to, because I'm going to tell you something. Every time God puts you in a dungeon or puts you in Potiphar's house or, here's your next level. You know, everybody is prophesying. You're going to the next level. Okay. Yeah. Moving right on up. Joseph's moving right on down to the dungeon. Okay. Every time you go to that next level, there's another layer. I'm telling you, there's another layer. Because the enemy comes in and says, you know, if they hadn't have done that, you wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
If they hadn't done that's a really good one. Now, that really nails it right there, what you just said. I never thought about that. You must be talking from experience.
That's why you got me crying.
I think you lived that one. And I haven't all of us, but I never thought about it like that. That's really a good way to apply it so people can get it. If it hadn't been for what you did, I wouldn't be here right now. You sorry bunch of bums. You know, and the devil tried to make him bitter. And I think that's where the devil, where he said what Satan meant for evil. I think one of the things Satan meant for evil was trying to make Joseph bitter. If he'd have gotten bitter, or he got bitter, but I think he just got better after he got bitter because he forgave. He started saying, well, he just kept pressing God, you know. God, I trust you more than what they did to me. You know, you're a good God, and what you're doing must be good somehow or another, even though I don't understand it. But what these brothers did to me, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And then later he realized that God had even used them. What Satan meant for evil, God used you guys to get me here. You sent me, you were by the hand of God sending me here, but I sure didn't see it like that for a long time.
It was a long
time. What a turnaround that was.
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
a
long time. Yeah. And some of us can relate to a long time.
I just wonder how many years that was between from that
at least
when
15,
that happened.
Yeah. At least 15. At least 15. Yeah, around 15. Because the Bible says that he was 17 when his brothers threw him into the pit. He was 17 years old. And then I think it said he was 30 when kind of like Jesus started his ministry when he was 30. He was either, I think he was about 30 years old when he actually got raised up. So that's about, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
A few years with Potiphar. And then when he moved up to the next level, he got a raise. He got sent to the prison. Yeah, that was about 15. So however many years he was there, I'm not sure exactly. But it was a long time. A lot of years.
Reach that to the masses.
Yeah.
See if you can write a book on it.
Yeah, oh, that'll sell. You'll definitely have to give that one away. You definitely have to give that. That'll be a definite giveaway. We're going to send this to you for free. No, please don't send me that. I don't want it. I mean, keep it. Please don't send that to me. No, I don't want to hear that. Years? No, I'm not going to hear that. Unless all the people who had been, it had been years, then they're going to go, yeah, send that to me. Then the other people who don't want it to be years, the younger people, they're going to say, I don't want to hear that. No, that ain't going to happen, you know. And then 15 years later when they're still, they'll say, okay, you can send me that book now, please. Is it still for free?
That's why.
Yeah.
I would not even read the Book of Job.
Yeah. Most people don't. Yeah, because of that. Yeah.
I wouldn't read it. I was like, I'm not going there, God.
I don't want that. Who wants that? Who wants that? My God, that's like pathetic.
Because, you know, there's sometimes that people, you know, are the ones that have, like, he told the prophets, he'd say, eat that scroll. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I have to eat it? It tastes good in your mouth, but when it gets down there in your belly, it's going to be make you bitter. Or is that better? I can't remember. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Bitter,
well,
better.
Sometimes it didn't get bitter. I mean, there was times he'd tell them to eat it, and they didn't say, and this made my stomach hurt, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's several times he told them, go ahead and just eat that.
Yeah, it's sweet in your mouth. In other words, you think God's stupid? He's going to give you something that's going to really be rough and make it taste rough? No, he's going to make it sweet. No, it's sweet. It's going to be sweet in your mouth. You're going to love it when it's in your mouth. But once you swallow it, and once it gets in there, it's going to start doing stuff. Sorry.
Working the work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to start working. You're going to have to put up a new sign saying, I'm a work in action or a work in progress.
Oh, my God.
Like,
what is it, a piece of work?
Yeah, you're quite a piece of work. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, God's piece. I said, I'm God's piece of work, so there you go. You know, we are his workmanship. Come on.
Yeah.
We are.
He's trying to build you into a stone so he can add you to the temple, so you can be part of the temple, but most people don't want that work. Don't be chipping away at me, man. Don't be picking on me. Oh, that picking, you mean that chipping? You're chipping away at my stone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you're trying to fit it so I can fit in? I don't want to fit in. I like being wild and crazy.
Oh, my.
Don't be chipping away at me.
We're talking about...
You're picking on me.
You know, but we're talking about the New Jerusalem. That's what he's talking about, thinking about it. You know, is the bride that comes down from heaven is the New Jerusalem, right? Well,
right, yeah.
It's the temple.
New Jerusalem.
The 12 stones, the apostles, you know, so he is making us, you know, pillars in the house. And we don't look at it like that.
And stones. Ooh. Yeah, we're stones or pillars, one or the other.
Yeah. Or, chandelier. You got a chandelier ministry going on. I'm sure there's going to be a few of those hanging around.
Oh, yeah, we'll be hanging around. I'll be hanging around, Chandler. We'll be hanging around. We'll be watching you guys from above. Yeah, we'll be looking down going, we see. Well, I saw that. I saw that. Get that right. What's his name? We're watching you. We're on the job. The chandeliers are shining bright. Watch it.
Tempered.
Woo, what's going on tonight? Yeah, temper.
I don't know.
I saw that temper. Watch that temper. I saw it. Yeah, don't try to hide it. Being tempered.
Oh, my.
Working with your temper.
But that does help when God says, and it's revelation knowledge, it's not like, okay, God is my best friend. No, when God speaks to you and says, I've been waiting on you to see me that way, really see me revelatory, really see me that way. Did I have to wipe out what? What he had to wipe out?
Yeah. Well, sometimes he doesn't let us, he's jealous over us because he wants to be our best friend, like you said, like you're talking about. And he doesn't let anybody else. That's why sometimes our friends, like even Job's friends, weren't really friends. It was because God said, I want to be your friend, you know, and I want to be your best friend. So that makes sense.
For you. I want to really do some things for you. I don't want to leave you stranded and branded.
Right.
Oh, come on. Branded.
A brand, your strand, your brand.
Yeah. But he does. He puts his, he'll put his mark on us. He'll put his mark on us, but not the way man puts their mark on you.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, people do try to mark you for themselves. But, once he's got you, then, it's a whole different level. I mean, just because we're his friends doesn't mean he's going to, if we don't, even what I love about, I've got a teaching on this, just this last few days, the last couple of weeks maybe, he's been showing me different scriptures that says, I'm your friend if you do what I tell you.
Uh-oh.
I went, yeah. And he said, in some scriptures, he says, I will love you. Listen to this, man, because God loves everybody. Right? We tell people God loves everybody, and he does love everybody. Of course he does.
Yeah.
But then there's different levels of God's love. And I found these scriptures. I'm going to talk about them pretty soon, maybe whenever God lets me. But I said, the Bible says God loves everybody. We tell God loves everybody. He loves sinners. He loves Christians. He loves people. But the Bible actually says, Jesus said, if you love me, my Father will love you. If you love me, my Father will love you. In other words, if you don't love Jesus as a born-again believer, then my Father's not going to love you. That's what it says.
Wow.
But he's not talking about, there's different levels of God's love, and so what he's talking about is a different level of his love.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's different.
Whoa.
Just like he said, if you're my friend as long as you do what I say. And, I mean, that's kind of a condition on friendship.
Yeah. So, he's bringing me up into some new conditions then. There's some conditions. Because he's like, Randy, I don't know where I was. I can't remember. I just remember crying. I'm swimming laps and crying. And I'm saying, and I'm talking to him, and I'm like, God, people can't even see that I'm crying. I'm in the pool. I can't see it. But I'm just like, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
I didn't see that I should go to you first because I didn't get the action out of you. Because really, when we're selfish, we go to God. We're not humble. We go to God. We want action out of him. When we're hurt, we want what we want. And I lived most of my life hurt. So.
When you don't get it, you think he doesn't love you. Yeah.
Right. So you just let him go there.
I was prophesying. I'm prophesying. I was prophesying one night, just talking and prophesying, and said that I was getting to this thought process about how God turned his face from Jesus. He couldn't look at him, because he became sin. God can't look at sin, so he couldn't look at. So he forsook him in a sense. Because Jesus even said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" So God did forsake him, but there was a reason why he forsook him, because he became sin. God forsakes. Listen to this, man. This blew me away when I heard this coming out of my own mouth. Heard it for the first time. The Lord says, the reason I forsake people is not that I forsake them as a human being. I forsake their stubborn rebellion of doing their own thing. That's what I forsake. I don't forsake them as a person. I forsake their, when Jesus said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, if he'd have stuck with that and said, nevertheless, if he'd have said, I'm going to do something different, God would have forsaken him right then. Because God forsakes anything that's not his will. He forsakes it. He doesn't forsake us so much individually as a person, but he forsakes us when we say we're going to do our own thing. He just forsakes that. He said that we enter into God. I said, if you feel forsaken sometimes, you might check out and see if you're walking outside the will of God. Because if you are, get back in. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. He wanted to make sure that the Father didn't forsake him, because he knew the Father would not agree with anything that wasn't his will. God isn't like, oh, yeah, we can work that in. God doesn't work it in. It's either his will or it ain't, you know, as far as, you know, a level of his will. And so he would have forsaken the Lord right then had the Lord not said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God would have forsaken him right then if he'd have said, I'm going to, you know, I got a better idea, you know, so, but he didn't.
I can tell you what it feels like.
Yeah.
I can tell you all about that. It feels like you're in a maze and you're looking for the light. You're looking for a way out. You're looking for which direction do I turn? And then no matter what direction you're turning, it's like you're stuck. When you're that's a forsaken, like when I was, when God wanted me to be, remove myself from a situation back in the past, and you told me, Cheryl, it's time to get out. Other people said, Cheryl, get out, and I would not do it because I was believing the religion thing, and, you know, you stay, you just do it, you no matter what, da-da-da-da. Yeah, it's a maze. If you choose to be that, it's a forsaken place. And no matter which way you turn, you're going to run into the wall called God.
Exactly. The wall called God, And then if you start digging around in it, you might find some other stuff, you know? Hey, like Ezekiel. Yeah, I got stuck in the wall there. I started digging through it. Oh, my God, when I dug in there, that's what I saw. I was like, oh, my God, why did I ever do this? This is horrible. Yeah, it's walls can be dangerous. Start getting stuck in one, you start digging around, there's no telling what you're going to see in there. You can see yourself, you know, you can see somebody else, you can, you know. One night I was on the show, this has been years ago, and this older lady, sweet as she could be, I didn't really know who she was, but she was just sweet. You could tell she was a sweetie, about, you know, maybe older than me, you know, maybe in her 70s, she said, Randy, I think my husband might be messing around on me. I said, well, you know, I can ask God and he'll tell me for sure if you want to know, something like that. And she says, no, I don't want to know for sure. And I'm going like, she said that literally on the show. And I was kind of like, I wish I could find that and go back and find that, because that was so cute. It was so sweet. It was so childlike. And no, I don't want to know. No, I don't want to know. You know, I know how to find out. You know, I know how to find out. No, I don't want to find out. It was so funny. I got a kick out of that.
That's denial. That's exactly so many.
I think that she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to forgive. I think she was afraid that it would destroy her if she knew for sure.
Yeah.
I think that might have been her motive. That's what I felt at the time. I could have been wrong, but I think she felt like if I knew for sure, it would probably ruin me. It would probably destroy me, and it probably ruined my life. So I don't want to know for sure. So as long as I'm just guessing and I don't know, I won't be in pain over it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with me, I want to know. I want to find out. I'm the kind of person I want to find out. Give me some evidence.
Too.
And I asked God for evidence. I said, give me some evidence. You know, I want to know. I'm not saying I'm going to be doing anything bad to it, but I want to know for sure. Yeah, I'm not the one of those kind that goes, I don't want to know. No, I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me. Show me.
Yeah.
Uncover it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he has uncovered some stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, that's another deep subject. If we could just, like, dig through that wall for a while.
Yeah, I've dug through some walls. I know how to dig through walls.
Whoa.
I do. I'm a trained digger. I can dig. And I've dug. And some of the things I've seen have blown my mind. So I kind of understood that lady to a certain degree. Like, once you find out for sure, boy, it's like, oh, my God. It is very heavy. It is tough.
Yes.
And maybe she had some things she found out for sure that she said, I don't think I want to go through that again. I'm going, well, I can understand that. But if you don't know for sure and you want to deal with it, You know, I mean, confront it. But confronting stuff sometimes can be really scary, because when you expose somebody, when they find out you know, and you tell them that you know and you found out, it sometimes they attack you. Sometimes they hate you. Most of the time they just run. I mean, I've had this. They run. They lie. They lie,
right,
and they hide. And that's what they do.
They,
and I guess you can't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you can't blame them, because in the sense of they're trying to protect themselves, because they don't know how you're going to respond. You know, I'm more of a forgiver, but I want to know for sure, and then I forgive. I don't like phony forgiveness. I'm like, well, I'm going to forgive them.
Me.
I think it,
that's why,
yeah,
I get stuck in the wall. That's me, because I want to get to the bottom of it too much. But that's not necessarily – this is sometimes you never get closure on something. And I've,
yeah,
never understood that, because because usually God would tell me what people were doing, like you. I mean, I wouldn't even have to dig through the,
yeah,
wall. People would come, me being a hairstylist, I would know what ministers were doing in town, what people were doing,
mm-hmm,
and people, it would be like, it would just come to me. You know what I mean? It'd just be, and then when the Lord didn't let me see some things, I didn't understand it. It made me stuck. I don't understand,
yeah,
that. I'm like, I don't understand this, God, because you've always told me, you know, it's like if somebody would do me wrong, I'd find out their stuff. God would say, look, you can't take this personal, because this is what they're doing. This is why they're doing this to you. Okay? But there's been some times where,
yeah,
I'm really
stuck. And I've also had some Job experiences where people that were my friends, you know, tried to accuse me. You know, I've had that too. I've had it come my way. From,
yeah,
several different sources, you know, several different sources. Especially when you're in the ministry, people tend to, you know, think that you're like every other preacher. You know, you're a hypocrite. You're doing stuff behind closed doors, and so you deal with that,
yeah,
and you have to learn. That's another thing you have to learn to deal with. And like Job had to deal with the fact that they were trying to say, "We know you're doing stuff. You have to be doing stuff. And look what's happening to you. Look how your life is falling apart." I mean, I've had this very thing happen to me. Before Blog Talk, I mean, before, you know, long time ago.
Yeah.
And so people telling me, yeah, you have to be doing something really wrong for all this bad stuff to be happening to you. And I go, well, you know, honest to God, you know, I mean, I hate to sound self-righteous, but I'm as pure as a driven snow as far as what you're talking about. You know,
right.
I'm clean. I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing hidden stuff. I'm not hiding behind closed doors and doing,
right.
You can dig through my wall and you can find out that you're going to be disappointed, because if you're looking for something bad, you ain't going to find anything really bad. I mean,
oh,
you know, I'm not
no,
perfect, but nothing bad.
Right.
So, yeah, so I'm going like, so then I had to be like Job and forgive them for it. And every,
yes,
time I did, God blessed me for it. I mean, he would just bless me double. That's why I talk,
right,
about Job, because I haven't really had Job's experience exactly, but the general overall of people, you know, thinking that 1 + 1 = 2 in this situation when it wasn't. It looked like,
right,
it, and God lets it look like it, so they will accuse you so that he can turn around and bless you if you forgive him and if you pray for him correctly. Like we were telling Michelle tonight.
Yeah.
I've talked about that from my own life experiences, not just out of the blue. That was from my own life experiences.
So the difference is what I'm getting and I'm hearing and seeing, as you're saying, is there is a discernment, and I've heard Francis Frangipane teach this and different people, you know, like discernment isn't suspicion.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely not suspicion. It's not,
yeah,
it's not a fleshy thing. And, yeah, so.
But when you're dealing with people that have been wounded, they tend to go right to, well, I know that you have to be doing something wrong because, you know, this and this and this, and going like, yeah, I know, and that makes sense, and I understand where you're coming from. And I wouldn't get too angry with them at first until they just kept pushing it. And I say, I understand that what that looks like, but that's not in this case, you know, God is my witness, Christ will I not, that ain't happening. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that at all.
Yeah.
Not even close to it. And so, you know, you have to, so that is part of something that God takes you through to bless you, really, if you handle it.
Well, part of it, anyway, it has to do with a lot of motives. It has to do with people are just messed up, you know. People are just messed up without God. If God doesn't give you, he doesn't heal you from all of that, and not you, but he doesn't heal us from our wounds, we're going to come off sideways. We're going to say stuff. We're going to judge people. I'm the type of person that I was like, okay, the Lord says confess your faults. Well, I took that to confess my faults to people who turn stuff back on me, you know, and
right.
Or,
yeah,
you know, hey, watch out. Hey, have my back here because I'm going through this and I want to stay right with God now. I want to live right. And they use that on you, what they know. And, you know, so it really puts you in a hole. It tries to, anyway. It tries to put you in a hole. So,
yeah.
That's,
yeah, it does.
You know.
Yeah, so we're going to go through all kind of things sometimes. And sometimes, you know, it's hard for somebody who's living in sin to get it right if they're trying to hide it, if they think that people are going to reject them and hate them for it. You know, it's a difficult thing. It's a whole, the whole realm is difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, God has to give you wisdom as you go along. So there's no pat answer for anybody, I don't think, for any of it.
Yeah.
You know, even if I know somebody's done something wrong, I'm more of a forgiver, and you know, I think I get blessed by being done wrong and then forgiving people. I think that I get blessed by that, and maybe it's a perversion or something with me. It's like, you know, I draw people that do you wrong, and then you forgive them. It's like, you know, am I drawing that, or what's going on with this? And so I can't really tell sometimes, but either way, you know, whatever God brings us our way, like Joseph had to deal with false accusations, you know, it's just something that we have to deal with as a Christian. It happens. Our friends can do it to us. Our enemies can do it to us. Doesn't matter who's doing it to us. But when our friends do it to us, that makes it more difficult, you know. So that the reason Job was able to get double out of that one was because it was his friends telling him that stuff. You know, you've got to have done something wrong because you're reaping something. You know, the Bible says, and they quote scripture and they do all this stuff, and, you know, it did make sense that it looked like he had done something wrong. We'd all looked at that and go, yeah, he's definitely done something wrong. But if God, we would allow God to take us deeper, we would see, but God didn't want him to see it. God blinded him so that he could bless Job. That was the story. That story behind the story is
period.
God wanted,
yes,
yeah, wanted him to forgive at a deeper level, so that he could be blessed at a deeper level. So the deeper the level,
yeah,
the hurt, the pain. If you can get through it, and if you can truly, like with Michelle, if you can truly apply that scripture to them and do it right, it's going to heal you. That's going to heal you.
Oh,
so when
yeah.
Job applied
I've done
that to his
before,
friend.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Oh.
Yeah. And I have too. And it's been, sometimes I've been successful at it going pretty quick. But the deeper the wounds are, the deeper the greater the miracles are when you come out of it. It's amazing. So, anyway. All right. I guess I'm going to move on.
God
it's been bless. Great.
Thank you.
All right.
Read that
Enjoyed
Ezekiel.
Okay.
Right,
yes,
bye.
I will. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I love it,
right.
Man. I love the Word of God. I love to look at the Word of God in it. Because I'm not connected
yeah.
to the internet here. Hold on. Hang on a second here. I've been having trouble with my internet. Hang on a minute. Okay, you're still on. Hang on a minute. Yeah, I'm trying to fix something. Okay, there it is. I got it. All right. Yes, and we just pray for Cheryl and her family and her situations. God, we thank you, Lord, for giving, you know, that that new dose of your love, Father, to love people through things, to love sometimes love gets angry. Jesus got angry at times, and he took the whip and drove out the money changers. I mean, he was not very happy about that one. And I thank you, Lord, for giving for love. Love deals with things. Love does deal with stuff. And he went into the temple. I'm sure he was. I don't know. I don't think he dreaded it, but I think he was kind of going like, yeah, I think he was. I think that Jesus was not exactly looking forward to going in there, except for one reason, that he loved his father's house, and they had made his father's house a house of merchandise. And when you love something, it doesn't mean you always feel ooey-gooey. When something's wrong, somebody messing with your kid, you know, or your husband or your wife, or messing with your ministry or your business or trying to mess up something, dude, a girlfriend, whatever you want to say, you know, I say girlfriend, you know what I mean, girlfriend, you know, girlfriend, brother, man, boyfriend, you know, guess what? That's going to make you, that you're going to, like, get stirred up about that. So love isn't always the beautiful, wonderful, sweet, nice feelings that you get. Sometimes love creates an anger. Love has an anger to it. It deals with things that are trying to mess up stuff. And they were messing up his father's house. And he got angry. Because why? Because love. He loved so deeply that when he got angry, you know, there's all through the scripture, God deals with things at different levels. It's level number one. Let's say it's three levels. He deals with stuff at level number one, doesn't work. He goes to level number two. Level two doesn't work. He goes to level number three. And level number three is, if you will, he takes a whip and he drives him out, man. And he's angry when he's doing it. Jesus was shocking the community who loved him and watched his life. They go like, oh, my God, what's he doing now? He's angry and he's throwing a fit, so to speak. But when he got through, he says, this is my father's house. And you've made it a den of thieves. You've made it to a place of merchandise, you know, just robbing God's people from the worship and the fellowship they come. And he made it into a thing of making money. Come on, get it out of here. And he drove them out. He was angry when he did. That was love. Love has many different manifestations to it, friend. Love means you have a passion for it. You know, like I talked about, you know, when God showed me that, you know, the love of God, when he starts showing me how love really does solve every problem, because when you, as far as with God, when you just love God, it's like I love Coleman's ministry. I loved it. I never loved anybody else's ministry before. I never followed anybody's ministry. I love Oral Roberts too, but not quite like Catherine Coleman. And you didn't have to tell me to find out stuff about her. I wanted to find out something. I searched around looking for ways to find out things about her. I don't care if somebody wrote a horrible book. There were really good books about her, and there were some really bad ones. People just gave information. Well, I knew Catherine Coleman. I would read it because I love Catherine Coleman's ministry. I love to find out about her. You'd have to tell me, you know, because I love – you'd have to tell me. You've been to find out about her. You know, you better find out about her ministry, because if you do, you know, if you don't, it's going to – same way with God's Word. You know, when you love God, you love God's word, you want to find out things about it. You want to read his word. You want to read things about him, because you want to find out, you know, all the different parts of his life and what he went through and the pains he went through, the blood, because you love somebody, you want to find out everything about him. When we love God and love his word, then you want to find things. You don't have to have people telling you what to do. You better get on God's word. You better pray. No, you want to, because you love him. That's why love is the greatest thing. So, Lord, I pray for our people tonight. My last caller had her hand up, hung up, so I guess I'm going to pray this prayer and move on all tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the love of God that you restore us back to our first love, God, where we chase after you, trying to find out things about you, trying to find out your ways. You know, we don't have to have somebody breathing down our necks and you better get in the word or else you're not going to get blessed. You know, we're there because we love God. We love the things of God. We love the ways of God. We love the good, the bad, the ugly. We don't care what it is. We want to know about our Father and about our Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. We want to find out what men of God would do. We love you, Jesus.
Lord, restore your first love to us. Restore it. Restore it. Restore it, God. So we chase after you. We chase after your word. Because we love Jesus. We love his word. I love to dig into the word. I really do. I love digging into it. I love to listen to the word, especially listen to it in my audio thing, Bible that I have. I love listening to it because I never know what I'm going to get. I'm just looking. I'm looking. I'm listening. I'm just listening. I'm waiting. God, you're going to show me something today. God, you're going to show me something about yourself today. What are you going to do? And that love, you know what that love does? God goes, ah, that boy loves my word. I'm going to show him something today. That's going to blow his mind, blow our minds, friend. So when you're searching after him, you're doing it because you love him. That's it. God, I release love, the love that's already in your people, because you first loved us. That's why we even love it all, because you first loved us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for restoring that first love to our PGN family, God, that they will love you with all of their hearts. My God. Thank you, Jesus, for love. Yeah, the love fest, the highest love. Yeah, that's really it. That's really it. And that's what God is doing. And he is, you know, somebody's messed up and somebody's sinned, you know, what does love do? Love looks for a way to help them. It doesn't look for a way to find fault with them. That's what Jesus did with the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He didn't look at her and say, oh, we turn into those religious creeps. That's what we do. And I've been a religious creep at times in my life. I admit it. And, you know, but Jesus loved. He loved. And when you love God, you love his people, you know that people have sinned. Sometimes they get in bondage to it. They can't get out of it. Here we are, you know. Sometimes people need to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, to the saving of their soul. Sometimes that does have to happen. That's the third level of God. That's the whip realm. And sometimes it has to be applied. And sometimes even Paul the Apostle and Jesus said, if somebody keeps sinning, they don't want to quit sinning, bring them before the church. That's what the Bible says to do. You know, you count them as a heathen, not to reject them in a negative sense, but to reject them from the kingdom of God, saying, hey, you know, and the people who have loved God and they're born again and they've fallen away from him and they're into sin and they can't stop it, if you just excommunicate them in the proper way, it's going to cause them to come back to Jesus. So are we more interested in their feelings or are we more interested in them coming back to Jesus at whatever level? God says, I'll do whatever it takes. That's what the end times are. The end times are God going to the third level or the 50th level. He's going to pour out plagues. You know, some people are going to shake their fist at God and be angry, and some are going to get right with God because it's the last level of him. He said, this is your last chance. This is everybody's last chance. Get right with God. I'm giving you one last chance. Come on. I've tried everything. You didn't yield to it, so now I'm pouring out the bad stuff. The bad stuff is going to bring some people in, and the bad stuff is going to make some people mad. About it, just better get ready for that because that's what's going to happen. It's going to make some people really angry. It's going to bring some people that are so hard that nothing would break them, but God pouring out some of his wrath out and waking them up. That's what it is. It's not God because he hates people. God because he loves them, but he's trying to bring them to repentance. Yeah. And that's what a lot of the judgments do. The judgments, people try to stop judgment from happening. Sometimes judgment is the only thing that will bring repentance to people, and that's what we're going to see go on. So don't pray. Don't stop the judgment. Stop. What we need to stop is that people don't get right when they get judged. We need to pray that people get right with God when judgment comes, because judgment sometimes is the only thing that will break them. It's the only thing that will cause them to turn, the only thing. And you're going to pray that it stops? I don't think so. I think we need to let God, we're trying to be emotional and sensitive emotionally to people and know that God, his thoughts are higher than ours. His thoughts are bigger than ours. And judgment sometimes is the very thing that will bring, or 50,000 people would not come to Christ had not been for judgment. When judgment comes, that 50,000 that would never come any other way, come to Christ. And God is more interested in them coming to Christ than he is about your feelings being hurt and my feelings being hurt over, oh God, you'd be the, why are you moving to that third level for with them? Because it's the only way I can get them saved. The only way I can get them into the kingdom. You're going to try to get me to stop it? No, I'm more interested in souls than I am in hurting their feelings, in your feelings, in my feelings. Yeah. So we need to understand that his ways and his thoughts are much higher than ours. Isaiah 55. His high ways are much higher than our. Amen. So, all right. All right, I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Let me see. Let me check here and make sure nobody else is on. Nobody else has your hands up. Yep. So we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for praying, believing God. Because that's for PGN. We're doing some really cool teaching lately, revelating on preparedness for the end times. To know that when a word is from God or it's just a scripture, because a religious spirit is a deceptive spirit and it's going to deceive people with the word of God. An angel of light deception. In other words, shine light on a scripture that's not really the light of God, but it's just to distract you from God's will, God's purpose, and to get you to pray, like we're talking about praying against judgment. You know, when you realize that as a prophetic word, when you realize that judgment is the thing that's going to evangelize the next group of people, then you quit praying. You quit binding it up. You start praying for the people during the judgment that they get right with God. Instead of stopping the judgment, stop the people from hardening their heart against God. That's what we pray for during judgment, right? So people they think that they're supposed to pray, stop judgment. I've tried to do it. I've done it at times. Sometimes it can't stop it, but at this level we're at right now, that is not the prayer. That's not God's prayer. The prayer of the Holy Spirit is that when judgment is poured out, that the people that normally would not get right with God any other way will get right during judgment. That needs to be the prayer that we pray. Right? Because some things, people are not going to come to Christ in any other way than when judgment comes. It's not what we all want. It's not what we wish. God's thoughts are higher than ours, friend. We got to quit trying to tell God what to do when he knows what he's doing. And he's more after them than you are. He's more after their souls being in heaven with him than you are. Them. And you may be really passionate about them, but you're not the passionate God is. He sent his own son, gave his life, so they'll come to Jesus. And we're going to try to stop God from going to that third level of dealing with people because he's out to get them saved. And you're going to have to stop that. I've done it before. I've tried to stop it before. That's what he's doing. So, well, you know, understand the gap or judgment not to come. He said, well, sometimes judgment is what brings repentance. Randy, you want to try to stop that? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe not. Yeah, exactly. So we need to know what scriptures are being brought by God instead of some religious spirit, which I've had and we've all had, was trying to stop God from evangelizing the earth the way called last resort. And believe me, he's out for souls. He's not out to make you happy in your feelings. He's out for souls. He's more for those souls because he knows what eternal hell is and he does not want them going to hell. So he will turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of the soul. He will do that. And it does work. And that's what he's after. But, you know, people don't want see their feelings get hurt. See their, yeah, I know. What's the word of the Lord? What's the word of the Lord? That's what we look at. What's the word of the Lord? When the word of the Lord says judgment is evangelism, instead we look at it, if we're not looking at the word of the Lord, we look at it judgment as, you know, some destruction. No, it's turning people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, their fleshly nature, not their bodies. It's in them to hell. It's to get them saved. So you got to start thinking about it the right way. You'd be hindering God. You'd be being like, I love this. You'd be being like Peter, you know, taking Jesus off to the side. You don't want to embarrass in front of the other brothers, you know. But Jesus, you don't understand. You're not going to die. That's not going to happen to you, okay? Quit confessing this negative stuff. You know, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. That's what God's going to say about some of you and some of me. Get behind me, Satan, because you know what? Satan's trying to use you. It's not something God's trying to do. You're not going to die, Jesus. Judgment's not going to come. We don't want judgment. We don't want judgment. You don't understand what judgment really is. When God gets ready to do it, it's for a purpose, for saving souls, saving a nation, saving the people. Are you going to stop that? I don't think so. It's going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I already know it's not going to happen. I stand on that with the word of the Lord, not with some religious thing. So I know I make people mad at me sometimes. So be it. So sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry, but I usually am sorry. Until it works for good, then I'm happy. God's happy. All right, God's happy, I'm happy. All right, I'm happy. Good night, everybody. See you later. Thank you.